is the MJ Morning Show Podcast. Initiate procedure. Okay, the MJ Radio Network. We are go.
Now, stand by for the MJ Morning Show.
All right, folks, what's up? MJ here. We got Roxanne in the studio. You got Fester over here. You got Coop over there. Froggy still at home. I don't even know if Froggy's connected yet. I gotta see. Calling Froggy. Not calling Gloria. Not calling Gloria. Calling Froggy.
Hello?
Hello, Froggy.
Hi.
Guess what, folks? Froggy is... You ready?
I'm ready.
You ready for this?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Omicron rated number one.
You, okay. You tested positive?
No. Well, Kim's not feeling well, I heard last night. Yeah, so we heard from Kim, and Kim says, yeah, she's not feeling well.
Oh,
well, geez.
No.
Their youngest kid, Luke, has the Omicron. That's why Froggy is relegated to his home bedroom with the home broadcast unit. So if Kim says, I'm not feeling well, I don't know. Is Kim psychosomatic?
No, not at all.
Do you know what that means?
Like a hypochondria type?
Kind of.
Yeah, sort of. Yeah, I mean, psychosomatic would be it's in your head.
No, I think she actually doesn't feel good. I'm more the psychosomatic one.
All right, did you sleep in the same bedroom and did you sleep in the same bed with Kim last night?
No, I kicked her out. She's in the guest bedroom snoozing alone.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
All right, so with Kim, your wife not feeling well, you did actually sleep in separate rooms.
Yeah, the night before we did too, just to play it safe.
All right.
Now, so I feel like $1 million, guys, can I tell you?
Or just...
Great.
Or just some rehearsal time for the inevitable split at some point.
I mean, seriously, yeah. After two nights in a row, yeah. Kim might be like, you know what? It's really nice not to be next to the...
I am sleeping good.
Yeah, both of you are realizing.
Now,
you know?
Froggy, please, use proper... You're sleeping well. You're not sleeping good. You're sleeping well.
I'm sleeping gooder than ever.
Yeah, gooder than
basically.
Ever.
That's fantastic.
How's Luke?
Yeah! Omicron rated number one! One, 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 one!
Oof. Luke is feeling gooder, too.
Do you understand? Yay. There's been so many sick morning shows out there where you can actually rate programs by the Omicron rating scale.
Omicron rated number one! One, one, one! One, one, one!
Guys, well, this quarter you guys were Omicron rated number three, but you know, I hear Fester hacking in the hallway, and you know, real good things.
You could be on your way to Omicron rated number one, you know.
Real good things for Q1 in 2022 for you guys.
You know, the show's sounding good, you know, and
well,
you know,
I mean, you know, be healthy but not too healthy. You know? Come on, be careful, but well, Omicron rated number one.
Yeah. So Freud, you're feeling fine, but. When did you last speak to Kim? Because she texted us. Kim is Froggy's wife, folks. And Luke, if you don't know the story, Luke is Froggy's 7-year-old first grader, and he's got the Omicron. And the teacher has the Omicron, so I imagine other kids in the class have the Omicron. So when did you last speak to Kim, and what were her symptoms last night?
Last night before we went to sleep, and she just told me that her throat was bothering her.
Yeah, that's where...
Get back.
Yeah, that's where it's starting. It's, you know, a lot of people, it's starting in the throat. And again, it varies. Some people with the whole Omicron thing, they have no symptoms. Other people just have a scratchy throat to a sore throat to, you know, other symptoms progress from there. But there are a lot of folks that have just really manageable, lighter symptoms with the Omicron. It's just contagious as a biatch is what it is.
I've seen different symptoms, too, like some people have had headaches or nausea, so it can be anything.
Right. You know, I've heard about extended erectile problems.
Mm-hmm.
Which direction?
I'm kidding.
because I may qualify for one of those.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I don't want to know anymore.
It's not the good one.
All right, great. All right, so for all you, let us know on Kim, because obviously we're concerned. Hey, you know, there are two different stories that emerged yesterday on the whole Bob Saget deal. I mean, literally, I have two different narratives, and you realize that we discussed both of, before anything official came out, we discussed both narratives as far as how Bob Saget was found. And, of course, we speculated on what cause of death could be. I mean, I'm going with massive heart attack or aneurysm or stroke, you know, the big three, as opposed to the big five if you're on safari in Africa. But the bottom line here is there were a couple of scenarios on how he was found, and you realize that we covered both, one involving wellness check with security, another with the housekeeper. You know, we covered both, and then both stories emerged yesterday, but then it seems that one appears to be the deal. All right, I'll tell you what, for the early crowd, the early listeners, we'll be back in just a few minutes. So let's dive into the latest on Saget. We'll give you both conflicting stories, although it appears that one has emerged as the truth. I just don't know where the other one came from. All right, hold on. The big Bob Saget shocker update is next.
This is the MJ Morning Show podcast. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com. Thanks for listening to the MJ Morning Show podcast.
MJ Morning Show on Q105. It is 6:16. It's a Tuesday morning. Got the whole crew in studio minus Froggy or sans Froggy. Froggy at home. I tell you, Froggy, the broadcast home setup sounds, you know, fairly good. I mean, Kim sounded great, you know, kind of yelling at you and yelling at me.
Oh, yeah.
You know, yesterday. I couldn't believe that you wouldn't go along with the Luke in the trunk bit. I mean, come on.
So, you know, radio. Well, you know, it's a little stressful enough around here lately.
Yeah, but come on. I mean, you know, a way to work through stress is to introduce some comedy and, you know, putting your 7-year-old kid in Fester's trunk and driving him to a COVID testing center somewhere in Hillsborough County. That's comedy gold, you know, especially since that Houston mother, you know, was arrested and charged with child endangerment for driving her 13-year-old kid to a Houston testing center with the kid in the trunk because he was Omicron positive.
You're right. We'll do it today.
Yeah, I think so. I was really looking forward. I thought the video could, you know, certainly gin up a couple hundred views.
Couple hundred. Great. That's well worth it.
Yeah, I'm telling you, a child felony endangerment charge for a couple of hundred views. We've got viral. We got viral, baby. Oh, not with the bit. It's, you know, the kid's viral with the infection, you know. Yeah. All right, so the whole Bob Saget deal. If you remember yesterday, we actually speculated on a lot, and I said that I didn't think drugs were involved. And this, you know, this was, you know, after the Orange County Sheriff's Department, they put out that tweet at 1946 hours on Sunday that, you know, Saget was found dead, no signs of foul play or drug use. And I said, I wouldn't even remotely speculate that drugs would be involved. And I said, it sounds like this guy just had a heart attack, a massive coronary, an aneurysm or a stroke, you know, one of those big three things. And then we also remember on numerous occasions yesterday, we talked about how was he discovered. And one of the scenarios that we laid out was housekeeping found him.
But if you put the do not disturb sign on, they're never going to come in.
Yeah, you know, I got a story about that. I lived in a hotel for, I don't know if I told the story. I lived at the Embassy Suites in Times Square for about 60 days.
Really?
60 days, yeah. So when I left Los Angeles, I was working for Pirate Radio, KQLZ Los Angeles. I was working with Scott Shannon, who used to work here at Q105 back in the 80s. And I was working at Pirate Radio Los Angeles, and then we moved from Pirate Radio to WPLJ New York, and I followed Scott. Scott hired me for New York as well. And when I moved from L.A., I still had my L.A. apartment while we were, I was kind of going back and forth between L.A. and New York. I racked up a bunch of American DC-10 frequent flyer miles from LAX to JFK, and they put me up, because I didn't have a place in New York, they put me up for a while in the Embassy Suites in Times Square. So I was in there while I was searching for a New York apartment, and sometimes it can take a while to find a good New York apartment, and it did. I had 60 days that I lived in the hotel, but I had my bird, my African gray.
I had
Casey, my African gray, and they weren't going to allow a parrot in the hotel.
Yeah, I'm sure the other guests would love that.
So I snuck my parrot into the hotel, and to keep from being discovered, I had my do not disturb sign on the door for all 60 days. So,
so your room was trashed.
So
by the
housekeeping never came in. I just would. Did you say ooh?
Yeah, because your place was probably a mess. You had a bird dutying everywhere.
Well, the bird dander. I mean, I remember.
I know how that bird used to be. Your office was a mess with that thing.
It was a thick coat of bird dander on everything.
Bird dander.
Yuck. Is that what it is, MG?
Yeah, it's dander. It's yeah. It was that silty kind of white powder that the bird put off.
That was on everything.
Yeah. So I had to keep housekeeping out of the hotel. So I had the do not disturb sign on for like 60 days. And I would see like the housekeeping cart in the hall, and I would just grab the soap and the, because they'd be in the room. So I would pilfer all the soap and shampoo that I needed. I'd grab fresh towels.
All right, thank you. Bye. Have a good day.
They wouldn't even see me. I was like the stealth operator, man.
They probably thought you were having like a drug-fueled orgy for 60 days, and that's why you didn't want anyone in the room.
Oh, come on, Roxanne. They saw him. They know what he looked like. So, they know that wasn't the case.
So I grabbed towels and toilet paper and soap off the carts in the halls. So, you know, it can be done. I mean, there's a way for housekeeping not to check your room for like 2 months. And I did it at the Embassy Suites right in the middle of Times Square.
You set the record.
Okay. I don't even know if it's the Embassy Suites anymore or if they, if I think it might be rebranded with a different name. Anyway, so back to Bob Saget. And we had speculated on two of these because one of the stories emerged. Listen, this was a story that emerged. The New York Post had this. Also, the Sun, the London Sun, had this as well. Bob Saget was found dead in his Florida hotel room by a housekeeper after he missed his late checkout time, according to a new report.
Ooh, that was my guess.
Yeah, but wait a minute. The cleaner made the grim discovery when she entered his room at the Ritz-Carlton in Orlando at about 4 p.m. Sunday, an hour after the 65-year-old was due to check out, according to a source that told People magazine. So apparently the Sun, the New York Post, and it might have originated from People magazine. And then it says there were no reported signs of a disturbance or trauma after calling 911. The housekeeping manager performed CPR on Saget until paramedics arrived. The Orange County Sheriff's Department had earlier revealed that Saget was pronounced dead at the scene, but that apparently is not the real narrative. So where did People magazine get sold a bill of goods? The real narrative is another one. We had guessed that scenario was possible, that housekeeping found him.
Right.
And then the other scenario was that, remember I said that the family might have been worried not being able to get hold of him and called the hotel for a wellness check?
That was a good one.
I even used the exact term wellness check on the show yesterday. So then the second report comes out. This is being reported by the Orlando Sentinel, being reported by Channel 2, which is NBC. You see their big tower off of I-4 if you're in like Winter Park area, WESH TV Channel 2. And they reported, and you know, and I believe this ultimately, I think this was borne out to be true because of the official report that came out from the sheriff's office and maybe the medical examiner yesterday. So I think this is actually the real scenario. A death investigation report for Bob Saget was released Monday by the Orange County Sheriff's Office. The report states that Saget was expected to check out Sunday and his family had been unable to get a hold of him This is interesting. Records showed the last time he used his key card to enter his room was 2:17 a.m. Now, I've got some thoughts on that. We'll get into that probably next hour when we get into our long segment. So he used his key card. They know when you use one of those key cards, the electronic, they know it registers on the computer every entry. Family members contacted the Ritz-Carlton. They sent a security team member to perform a welfare check. When the security team member entered the room, he noted all the lights were off. Investigators found no signs of foul play. The room was orderly, with Bob Saget's items on the nightstand, TV stand, closet, and bathroom, all of his personal effects. According to the report, Saget's left arm was across his chest while his right arm was resting on the bed. No signs of trauma were seen. He observed that Saget was on his bed. It was cold to the touch, yellow and clammy. No pulse or breathing was detected. Hotel management spoke to Saget's wife, Kelly Rizzo, to inform her of the death, and he was pronounced dead at 4:18 p.m. So when
you have the left arm on the chest, that doesn't indicate he was, like, clasping his chest in a heart attack or anything.
Or he could have been rolling over in bed, and that's just when he kicked it. I mean, honestly, you sleep. Can you think about where your arms are when you're sleeping?
Yeah.
You know, I don't think that's indicative of anything specific. You know, listen, I've fallen asleep on the couch. I'll go home, in between shows, and I'll plop down on the couch in our living room to take a quick nap. And I know that I'll sometimes have my arm across my chest and my other arm flopping off the side of the couch. So I don't think it was in a clasping or a grasping, like, you know, I'm having a heart attack position. It sort of sounds like maybe something happened in his sleep. I mean, it sounds like he might have had a massive heart attack in his sleep. Mm. We'll have, you know, obviously details forthcoming. They say the toxicology takes a while to come back, but if they perform an autopsy, they're going to be able to determine whether he had hardening arterial sclerosis, hardening the arteries. They're going to be able to figure out cause of death. And again, it's going to be, I truly believe, a heart attack, a stroke, or some type of aneurysm. It was just something that was quick and sudden that took the beloved Bob Saget.
So the autopsy was done yesterday morning. No signs of drug use came out from them. They said about 10 to 12 weeks before they can determine the actual cause.
Well, that's not true. They know. They always say that. And a lot of times it takes that long, they say, for the toxicology to come back, which I don't understand why it takes so long for toxicology. I don't get that. You know, they got the DNA figured out in 6 minutes on NCIS.
Nah, it's
CSI. Come on.
They're understaffed.
I watch TV. I know how this works. They got the case solved. They got clues that are flying through the air. They're moving stuff around with their hands in midair. You ever see that?
Okay. You know? That's only on, like, CSI Miami. That was originally on CSI Miami. Well, now it's everywhere.
Well, there's another show, First 48. Only takes them 48 hours.
Yeah, they get a bunch of DNA stuff on that show within 2 days.
All right. When we get back, morons in the news. My favorite part of the show, or one of them. Early morons in the news coming up next.
This is the MJ Morning Show podcast.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Thanks for listening to the MJ Morning Show podcast.
MJ Morning Show, Q105, 6:37 here on a Tuesday morning. Yesterday, was it later in the show, Fester? I know you got into the whole Tom Brady-Gronk deal, how Tom Brady was defiant and did not want to come out of the game. You mentioned that Brady was trying to make sure that Gronk hit that $1 million bonus, right?
I don't know if I'd use the word defiant.
No, but yesterday you brought this up on the show yesterday.
So Gronk was getting a bonus if he got like 55 receptions. And like when Brady came out and they knew they were going to win the game, they were at 54 there were, or 53 or something
there
like
were
that.
Two, though. There were two bonuses, right. $500,000 each.
And I think the other one was like yardage.
We'll get into that. Do we forget the exact number? Because I know that you brought up the whole bonus deal during the show yesterday, and I thought it was pretty cool to Tom Brady to make sure that Gronk scored. Listen,
looking out for his friend.
Yeah, Gronk's base salary is nothing to sneeze at. Isn't he making like $7-8 million a year anyway? You know, doing the gig, no, and then
his salary.
Yeah, they're actually paying him nothing. He's just making money off those USAA commercials, which I hate. By the way,
do you really?
He's like, hey, Frank, don't you think I deserve USAA? Oh, God.
Yeah, maybe they're not the best spots. All right.
$8 million. He has a base of $8 million in 2021.
Oh, thank you. You just reminded me. I got to pay my flood insurance.
It's $8 million. That's what made you think of that?
Yeah. What is his base?
His 2021, $8 million.
What is it?
Eight.
Yeah, that's what I said. Yeah. I thought he was making like $8 million. Yeah. I thought I remember hearing that that's what his base salary. And then some bonus coin on top of that. All right, early morons in the news. Man, we got a theme this morning, I'll tell you that. We got a lot of Florida stuff, too. But we've got a morons theme here. A woman down in Naples has been arrested for DUI for driving over the officer's foot.
Okay.
With some evidence.
But with a golf cart. So how very, very Florida. The only way this could be better if it was a golf cart running over the foot of a cop in the Villages.
The Villages, Florida's friendliest hometown.
No. This was down in Naples. And what's that fancy schmancy street with the restaurants and the shops in Naples? You know what I'm talking about?
I've never been in Naples.
It's like at the end of the Tamiami Trail down there, and then it's that, what do they call that? Hey, Froggy, can you stop? You're like sounding clumsy. You're like banging into everything at your place.
Oh. Is it Fifth Avenue South?
Yeah, I think it might be.
Well, I just typed in fancy street in Naples in Google, and it's the only thing that came up.
See, I'm getting all the stuff in actual Naples in Italy.
Yeah. That's Napoli.
Napoli, yeah. Yes.
Tell you what, I can give you some great places to go in Napoli. You want to definitely hit Pizza Da Michela or Starita or Pizzeria Brandi. Yeah, if you want some great Napoli pizza. Yeah. So this woman down in Naples allegedly drove over the cop's foot while driving the golf cart through an art festival in downtown Naples. This happened on Sunday. Around 6:45 p.m., the woman drove a golf cart through a police barricade, which so they had some kind of an art festival going on down in Naples on the weekend. And you know when they kind of block streets off? They put the barricades around. And
you generally don't drive golf carts through art festivals.
Right. It's a, you know, a lot of places, if you're doing like a street fair, an art festival, whatever, you block off the streets and it becomes a whole pedestrian zone. So this woman decides, barricade, schmarricade, and she decides that she's going to drive her golf cart through the barricades in downtown Naples. But the streets were closed because of the art festival and people were milling around. The woman identified as Kelly Haney, 44 years old.
Which is a shocker right there.
Why is that?
Because she's younger than you would think.
You would think. Yeah, exactly right. You'd think this was an 84-year-old.
She's 44. Very attractive, by the way. She's got a very pleasant, you know, sort of attractive-looking mugshot.
Nice features.
You know, she's also giving me that come-hither look.
Mm-hmm.
You see that? She's giving me sort of a sultry, you know.
It's directed right at you.
Okay, stop.
That's what I'm what?
That's the same look she gave the officer when she ran over his foot. So don't fall for it.
Don't fall for her mugshot.
Don't fall for it.
Oh, like, kind of like the, how would you, bring a mugshot, put a mugshot back on. Roxanne, how would you describe, it's right there.
Yeah.
How would you describe?
Oh, that's full on come hither.
It is.
Come here, baby.
Yeah. Well, it's more like come here, baby, or, you know, don't you want me? Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sounds like a.
That's a good look for a mugshot, I guess, because it turned out nice. You know, right. If you can kind of picture that in your head, like do a sexy face, then your mugshot's going to look better right. than like the deer in the headlights look.
But I also have always subscribed that if you look fairly decent in your mugshot, you must look real. If you really fix yourself up, I mean, if you look decent, if you look attractive in a mugshot,
right?
That if was, you're if you're not in central booking or downtown, you and not in an orange jumpsuit, you must look pretty damn good when you put yourself together and, you know, kind of fix yourself up for a night out on the town. So she's a good looking 44-year-old woman.
Clean up nicely.
Yeah. So this woman, Kelly Haney, she drove through the barricades onto Fifth Avenue in Naples when a lieutenant with the Naples Police Department yelled for her to stop. She stopped, talked to the lieutenant before she allegedly tried to pull forward and ran over the guy's foot.
Okay.
Yeah, that's certainly, I don't think it's a debilitating injury. I mean, you know, the weight of the golf cart, I mean, it could hurt, but that's also, you know, listen to officer direction. Don't try to pull away. And probably the last thing you want to do is run over a police officer's foot when they're trying to get you to stop going through barricades on closed off streets during an art festival. So they stopped the golf cart. They questioned her. She admitted to driving through the barricades because it was the only way to get to the parking garage. And she also admitted to having two glasses of champagne. And cops know this, that if somebody admits to two glasses of champagne or, oh, I only had a beer. Yeah.
If you admit to two,
yeah,
you've probably had 10.
Exactly.
You know, that's how it is.
You know, we ought to ask, you know, any cops listening, what's the formula?
on average, any
anonymous cops listening right now, if you don't want to use your name, do we have any police officers that are listening right now, wherever you are in the listening area, whatever agency, if you're on duty or off duty, the question is, if you've pulled somebody over, I mean, that's like, you know, sir, have you been drinking? Oh, yeah, I had a beer. I had two beers. So if we have any cops listening right now, 800-990-1047. Let's see if we can get some early morning law enforcement action going on. All right, if you're a cop, if somebody says, oh, yeah, I had a beer, I had two beers, what is the formula? How many more beers did they probably have, or how many drinks on average, according to your career experience? If you pull somebody over, they said, oh, yeah, yeah, sir, you've been drinking, or ma'am, you've been drinking. Oh, yeah, I had a beer. I had a couple of beers, you know.
It's a couple beers. That's what they say. They don't give a specific number. I had a couple of beers.
All right, so any cops listening now, what has your experience been? So this woman says that, oh, yeah, she had a couple of glasses of champagne. I think Fester's probably close. It's probably more like 8 or 10 glasses of champagne. So if there are any cops listening, you can remain anonymous. You don't have to use your first name or your agency. But what is your experience? I don't know if we're going to get any early morning police. Hey, listen, it's hit or miss. Sometimes we do, sometimes we don't. But if you'd like to weigh in on if somebody says they've had two glasses of champagne, what do you think it is? 800-990-1047. 800-990-1047. All right, Coop's screening some calls. We'll see what pops in. But, yeah, she failed the field sobriety tests. She was arrested, taken to the Naples jail center. And, yeah, the last thing you want to do is run over the cop's foot. You know, that certainly exacerbates the situation.
Well, I would rather be run over, my foot run over with a golf cart than a car.
Oh, yeah, listen, absolutely. Without a doubt.
I'd rather be run over by a car than a tank.
We've got Anonymous. We've got Anonymous. Are you a local law enforcement officer?
Yes, sir.
Excellent. All right. Now, do you want me to say, all right, it says Pinellas. So you're an anonymous law enforcement officer in Pinellas. Are you on duty right now by any chance?
Yes.
Okay. In your experience, if someone says, yeah, I had a beer, I had a couple of beers, what is your experience?
So there is no set formula. So the experience is they never tell you I had 3 or 4 or 1. It's always 2. I don't know why, but it's always 2.
Right.
And for the most part, when they're hammered, your questioning would be, well, how large were those 2 drinks?
Right.
How large were they?
Yeah.
They were Home Depot 5-gallon buckets of beer, but I only had 2.
Exactly.
By any chance, could those 2 beers be kind of sectioned off into maybe 26 individual cans?
Absolutely. And then for women, women, it's always two glasses of wine.
Oh, all right. So, yeah. Guys, it's two. You pull them over, it's always two glasses of beer or two beers, and women, oh, yeah, I had two glasses of wine. That's amazing.
That's it. I don't know if it's just a guideline, but that's it right there.
How many years have you been in law enforcement?
28.
All right. And what is the worst blood alcohol blow or blood test that you've ever seen?
Probably
0.28. Man, that's
like five times the legal limit? You know, four times?
When you hear the stories, and we've had these in like our moron stories over the years, when you hear someone that has like a 0.5, a 0.71, I mean, I don't know how they're alive.
Yeah, but everybody's different in the fact that you could have somebody that's a point, take, for example, a woman that has maybe a 0.09, but she could be really, really drunk.
Yep.
because of size, dynamics.
Just body chemistry, it's just the whole package put together, yeah.
Absolutely, but then you could have somebody that has a 0.20, and they seem like they're somewhat fine other than their motor skills.
All
right. Gotcha.
So, hey, officer, you said you've been on the job for 28 years, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so every cop I know knows exactly how many months and years they have left until they retire.
21.
21 till you retire?
21 months.
Oh, 21 months.
See, right. Every cop I know, to the month, they know, this many months left.
Hey, listen, so you're going to put in, about 30 years you're going to put in?
Exactly 30 years.
Listen, thanks for your service, and thanks for assisting the community, and thanks for listening to the MJ Morning Show and calling in.
Always listen to you since you guys started with BJ.
Thank you, buddy. If you ever see me around town, just say hi.
I sure will. Have a good day.
You too. Thanks. That's great.
Hey, MJ, I didn't want to correct you when you're talking to your buddy here in law enforcement, but, you know, I think you die when it's like 0.4.
Well, no, you can. You can, but we've had some crazy stories, and I think we've done several since we've been back. You know, we came back on the air with the MJ Morning Show in October of 2020, so we've been back on the air for, a year and 3 months or so, and I know that we've done a couple of stories with some insane blood alcohol levels that I think we've had a 0.5, I think we've had a 0.6. We've had some cases where I've even said on the air, how is this person alive? This is like a definite death blood alcohol level. We've had several of those stories, but you're right. There's a conventional wisdom that if you have a certain level, that would most likely be death. But some of these people survive, and that's what's amazing. What do you drink to get a 0.5?
Just a couple beers.
Two wines and a couple beers. Two glasses of wine. Right. But how about that? That guys, I knew that was the case. Because you always, you know, watching episodes of Cops, for instance, over the years, it was always, you know, they're pulled over, you have anything to drink tonight, sir? Oh, yeah, and a couple of beers.
Yeah.
And the officer's right. And women, it's always, two glasses of wine.
Yeah, just a couple fireballs, that's it. A couple.
You have to explain the alcohol on your breath. You're like, just a couple.
Speaking of the golf carts, you know, I get kind of outraged. I hate the golf carts running around my neighborhood because we're not in a golf community. And it's like everyone's driving these golf carts, and I see women driving through the neighborhood, two women, kids in the back, and they're holding glasses of wine while they're driving the golf cart through the neighborhood. And they don't realize you can get a DUI. You can't be drinking a glass of wine driving the golf cart around the neighborhood. All right. I haven't even scratched the morons. Hold on. Back in a minute. It's a loaded Tuesday. It's the MJ Morning Show here on Q105.
This is the MJ Morning Show podcast. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Thanks for listening to the MJ Morning Show podcast.
It is the MJ Morning Show on Q105. If you want to set your clock, the time is exactly 7 o'clock at the MJ Morning Show. Welcome, my friends. Hey, Froggy, are you still with us? Froggy? Hello, Froggy. Calling Froggy. Come in, Froggy.
You know, I think he's using this whole kid COVID excuse just to work half a morning.
I told you, everybody uses it as an excuse now.
Where the hell did he go?
People don't even have to provide information. I'm not saying that that's what Froggy's doing, but, you know, people just, oh, I got a COVID issue.
Should we call it co-kid or kidvid? What should we call it? If your kid's got COVID and Froggy's
kidvid, kidvid.
You like kidvid?
Mm-hmm.
You know, with the id at the end of COVID, it actually just works as it is.
Yeah, so... Yeah, Froggy's from home, but...
Co-kid.
Oh, Frog, where'd you go?
I was just checking on my kid. The older one was yelling for me.
All right, is he okay?
Yeah, he's fine. He just wanted some agua to drink.
Hey, Froggy, when is a happy meal not quite a happy meal?
When you don't get your toy, I guess.
Now, are your kids into the Happy Meals? Do you guys do they ask for the Happy Meals, for instance?
They graduated from the Happy Meals. They moved on to full sized man burgers.
Okay, fantastic. Well, when Fessa, if I just give you the details and I say, hey, when is a Happy Meal not quite a Happy Meal?
Okay.
Well, first of all, when I say Happy Meal, you immediately gravitate to where?
The Happy Meal is intellectual property of McDonald's.
That is correct. 100% right. Yes.
And they make the hamburger, the cheeseburger, right. The okay. Four-piece nugget, or the six-piece nugget Happy Meal.
Oh, you got the whole thing figured out.
Currently, they're giving out the Sing 2 toy collection.
What is it?
Sing 2, like the animated movie Sing, where all the animals sing pop songs.
It's like the best movie ever.
Hold on. Have you not seen the movie Sing 1?
I have not. Okay.
You're missing out on life.
My kids are older now. Like, Chloe's 20, Julian's 17, so I'm not in that zone for the current, you know, kid movies that you got to go see.
Okay, so this weekend, MJ, you and Michelle need to see Sing 1.
Yes.
It is, you will be as captivated and into it as you can imagine.
Matthew McConaughey is in it. He stars in it.
Coop, can you bring up some audio from Sing 1?
I'll tell you what to bring.
See if you can find something from Sing 1. All right.
Find the Taylor Swift and the Elton John collection.
Are you serious?
MJ, I was flipped out at how much I enjoyed Sing. And now there's Sing 2. Which my daughter went to see with grandma over the weekend.
I know that my kids dragged me to the Lego movie. Remember the first Lego movie?
Yes.
And they dragged me to that, and I'm like, oh, jeez, what the heck? You know, oh, my. Because my kids have dragged me to movies, and the biggest joke in my house, like when Chloe was, I don't know, 10 and Julian was 7, and they would drag me to the movie theater for some kid movie, and my general MO was I fell asleep. And they would make fun of me. Daddy, you know, they'd come on, Mommy, Daddy fell asleep again. And, you know.
Yeah, right. Lego movies are funny.
Well, that's the deal. So the kids dragged
Sing
me.
Sing sucks.
Oh, shut up, Froggy.
Hold on a minute.
Dead wrong on
it's
that.
It's terrible.
But that's the point. The kids dragged me to the Lego movie, the first one, years ago. And I was floored. I was like, oh, my God, this thing's fantastic.
All right, Froggy, want
you to... There's a bunch of adult jokes in those movies you could relate to.
The Lego movie was great. All right, I got to get to the Happy Meal story here, but, you know,
Can we please sing songs?
Yeah, are you talking, Froggy, the movie that had the assistant lizard with the wonky eye? That was funny every time.
It's terrible.
The lizard with the wonky eye?
You have to see the movie.
Yeah.
I mean, the movie Sing is great, and right now Sing 2 is in... theaters near you.
All right, so McDonald's is doing a Happy Meal.
It's all
little toy tie-in, right?
Yeah, Sing crap.
Okay. All right, so Coop, what do you have from Sing?
Okay, this is from Sing 1. It's I'm Still Standing, Sing by Taron Egerton.
I'm Still Standing as in the Elton John song?
Yes. So here's this.
The gorilla sings, and the gorilla's father's in jail?
All right.
It gives you all the feels.
It does.
All right, hold on. Let's listen to this. You can never know what it's like. You blood like a winter freezes. All right, so this is a gorilla. Is this an animated gorilla?
Yes.
And it's Johnny.
It's what?
Johnny. Johnny's amazing. And then
Is Johnny the gorilla wearing like a bad toupee like Elton John?
No, he's a gorilla. Everything's hair.
Turn it down.
The dad's in prison.
What? Who's in prison?
His dad.
Oh, Johnny's father. Johnny was a bad getaway driver. Wait, I don't want to give it away.
The gorilla's dad's in prison?
Yes. Yes. Because Johnny's
Oh, he's so proud.
You fucked a son, verbose.
All right, now, what what kind of animation is it? Is it like that, like the Toy Story type animation?
It's good style animation. It's not like hand sketch stuff.
Yeah. No.
Oh, is that it right here?
Yes. It's like 3D looking.
Oh, gotcha. So it's that 3D, almost realistic looking animation.
Yes.
Okay, Fester's showing me video right now.
Whenever we watch Sing.
Yeah.
And then whenever we'd get in the car and Q105's on and we hear Elton John, I'm Still Standing, my daughter's like, look, it's Johnny.
All right, so the gorilla's dad is in prison. What did the gorilla's dad do to go to prison?
He robbed a bank.
Yeah, big crime. Johnny was the getaway driver who was too busy singing to pick up his old man, and his dad gets pinched. There's so many plot lines.
Yeah, it's almost like Love Actually, like 10 different plot lines.
Is this a good plot line for a kid? So five-year-old kids are watching stories about gorilla bank robbers that are imprisoned?
I never thought about it that way.
Is that a good thing for kids to see?
There's also the plotline of the sexually frustrated pig housewife.
Yeah,
Roxanne just sent me that link. This is Rosita's Bambolio.
What?
She's dancing in a supermarket.
So it's a sexually frustrated pig?
I mean, this is issues at home.
All right, so wait a second. Roxanne, you're comfortable with your 4.5-year-old kid watching movies about sexually frustrated pigs?
She's seen the Gypsy Kings?
So wait a minute. What's going on? Is this pig not porking enough or what?
Listen, first of all, the pig has like
20 piglets, okay? And her husband doesn't see...
I guess he is porking enough.
Her husband doesn't see her. She's like this bright, shining pig, and she wants to go perform, and he's kind of like immune to it.
None of this has to do with what doesn't make a good Happy Meal, because right now Happy Meals are probably at their peak because they're giving away good toys to great movies you haven't seen.
Well, the story, we've taken a detour here, because the story is, my question originally was, what is a Happy Meal not a Happy Meal?
I don't care about that. Let's just keep watching Sing Songs.
No, let's not.
Okay, so... Yeah, listen, MJ. Honestly. What?
Seriously.
This weekend, Friday night.
Hold on. I'm looking at a scene from the movie. The pig is shopping in the supermarket.
MJ, it's a movie.
I want to see the pig go to the Oscar Mayer bacon department over in the meat section. I want to see the pig go buy some pork chops. We're going to have Uncle Lou for dinner tonight.
Okay. Yes. Then the performance scene, and then the problem with the bank, then the mob. There's so many things.
You can't even imagine.
Right. Oh, they have a Taylor Swift song, too.
Oh, jeez.
What's happening?
I don't know, Froggy. We've been hijacked, Froggy.
Yes, I love this one. I never miss a
beat. Ah, that's enough. Can I get to the story about the Happy Meal for crime?
Only if you promise this weekend you'll watch the movie Sing.
Promise in blood.
Okay, that's a little bit extreme, especially after you get finished talking about pigs. However, just please watch it. Back to Happy Meals.
When is a Happy Meal not a Happy Meal?
Does it have to do with rodents?
No.
Okay, all right, I'm out. Body parts.
A Florida woman took the Happy Meal and threw it at a McDonald worker's head.
Oh, man. Like back into the window?
Miramar police said the unidentified woman became angry and injured a restaurant worker after her coupon was rejected. And surveillance video shows this woman yelling and pounding on the drive-through window and throwing various items at the clerk, at the McDonald's worker inside the window, including the Happy Meal. Now, is that sacrilegious that you take such a beloved item like the Happy Meal and you throw it at a McDonald's worker's head? Don't you just violate all tenets of human decency by tarnishing such an American institution as the Happy Meal?
It's not a happy ending with that Happy Meal.
I don't want to hear about your happy endings, Roxanne.
It's a sad ending.
I mean, somebody's going to be arrested eventually. That's not good. A family's going to be broken up. Nobody's eating.
To take a Happy Meal box and wing it at an employee's head? Come on, that is as unhappy as it gets.
I don't think they do the boxes anymore, do they, Fester? I think it's just a bag.
They do the boxes.
Oh, it's been a while for
Fester,
me.
I don't know, because I think the kids probably have Happy Meals at your place, what, like 5-8 times a week?
I have like half the Minion collection of Happy Meal toys in the office right now. I love Happy Meals.
So cops are still trying to identify the woman in the video, and they're looking for tips. But the surveillance video shows the woman getting angry and throws the Happy Meal box at the McDonald's worker's head and hits the head. I mean, come on. That's
a point. You can get a point right in the eye.
Well, the box has sharp corners, and those fries, if they come out straight from the fryer, they are missiles.
You could have third-degree burns from those things if they're right out of the fryer, right? All right, more. This is automotive-related crap. I don't know what the theme is here today other than automotive. Woman tried to hit another car, run it off the road, and then used a small hammer to break the window of the other car. Because everyone carries a small hammer around for possible road rage incidents, right?
You don't carry a small hammer around in your car? I carry a small hammer.
She probably has it like that. Like people have those in case their car ends up in the bottom of a lake.
Yeah.
Out your window.
We have that.
There's a special tool to do that.
Yeah, we have the puncher. It's not a hammer. You know, they do have the hammers. They've got the ones with little spike points. Listen, I've talked about this on the air. I think I told you guys to go get those, didn't I? Years ago.
Yeah, you did.
No, I'll use the headrest. I take out the headrest and use those spikes.
But did he tell you in 2008, Roxanne, years ago? No, you met him a year ago.
What do I telepathically tell you? No.
No, I have the seatbelt cutter and then like a sharp metal cone that's a hammer that can break a window.
We have, in all of the cars we've ever owned, this has been something I've always done, and you can buy these things cheaply. Automotive stores have them. Amazon has them. And you can buy like a 3-pack, a 5-pack, you know, give them out to friends, the kids, if they've got cars. And the ones that we have now, these are kind of, they almost look like carabiners. You know, the carabiners like, you know, on backpacks or that mountain climbers use, they're kind of small. And the one that we have now is a puncher device with the seatbelt cutter. And here in Florida, with all of the water that we have, I think this is an essential item. You put it in the door pocket, you put it in the center console, and if you ever find yourself running off the road into the water and you can't get out of your vehicle, the one we have, it's like a punch device. You take it and you press it into the window, and it's spring-loaded, and it takes this metal spike, and it goes ka-dunk, and it will shatter your window so you can get out, and then it has a little like a little area where it has a knife that's sort of protected by plastic, and you can, if your seatbelt is caught, you can take this device also. It's a 2-in-1 device, and then you can cut your seatbelt so you can get out in case your seatbelt is holding you in.
Well, it also gives you a very passive, aggressive tool to have in cases of road rage.
If you have the hammer version, and you know, we've had the hammer version as well, but we opted later for the smaller one. So this is out of Lake County, just north of here. A woman used her car to try to run another. The theme here is, and this is important, all of these stories today, they're all women. Women are becoming some road ragers. You know, first we had the lady in Naples ran over the cop's foot on a golf cart at the art festival last weekend. Now we have a woman using her car to try to run another woman off the road. And then later, once she ran the woman off the road and the cars were stopped, then the woman jumped out of her car with a small hammer and smashed the window of the other driver. How freaking angry? How do people get so worked up? Where does this rage come from? I mean, I've seen some whacked out road rage where I'm just driving and I see a driver cut somebody off and it's not intentional. And then I see the other driver react and speed up and then like tailgate him and try to put their bumper within a quarter inch of their... I've seen some nutso road rage actions, and I just don't know what it is that sets people off like this.
I saw a woman, this is a couple weeks ago, and she got cut off, and the woman who cut her off, she threw a bottle at her car.
Yeah, we had a similar story to that as well. We did something recently. So where were you? Where were you driving?
It was right on Racetrack Road, right by Forest Lakes.
And you saw a woman get cut off, and then the woman that got cut off threw a projectile, a bottle from her car, at the other vehicle.
She looked mean as a rattlesnake. And it wasn't even like a, you know, egregious cut off. It was just the flow of traffic. So it was
the run-of-the-mill cut off.
Yeah.
How would a rattlesnake throw a bottle? Roxanne, honestly.
With its tongue.
How would it drive? How would it hold the steering wheel?
With its forked tongue. Or... Or maybe from
it's a rattler.
Yeah, they coiled the rattle in the back and threw it. Now, could you determine was it a plastic bottle?
It was a glass bottle.
Really? Could you determine what it was?
No, but I just saw the plunk.
Was it like a Nantucket juice bottle?
Or? No, it was the Coca-Cola Eche en Mexico.
Eche en Mexico. Yes. The Mexican Coke.
Yes.
Really?
All glass bottles.
And those are the glass bottles, exactly.
But I just remember like, oh, wow, that's a woman who did that.
And equal rights rocks.
Yeah.
Did the bottle strike the car?
Yes, it did. She plinked it, but it didn't quite make it as hard as she wanted. Yeah.
But it did hit the car.
Yeah, it did. Mm-hmm.
And did the other driver stop?
I think the other driver was like, whoa, this woman's crazy.
Yeah.
Man, that's when I pull out the gun. Oh, man. I'm so glad that didn't happen to me.
So, Lake County, something happens. The woman tries to run the other woman off the road. Finally, the cars are stopped. And then the woman that's road raging gets out of the car with a small hammer and then beats the woman's window till it breaks.
Stop. Have a time.
There you go. My God. That's what she said. And the woman was wearing MC Hammer parachute pants when she got out of the car as well.
You know, that was such an underappreciated fashion trend. They were so comfortable.
What, the parachute pants?
They were so airy.
Stop. Have a time.
All the zippers are kind of cumbersome, you know.
What did you say, Frog?
All the zippers.
On the parachute pants? So, cops in Lake County, they responded Sunday afternoon to this local area after a woman called saying a friend of her ex-boyfriend was trying to hit her car off the road. The woman gave officers updates. So she's on the phone with 911 giving play-by-play as they're driving north on Highway 27, which runs a good chunk of the state, and said that Miracle Johnson 20 was following her in a red BMW. The aggressor's name is Miracle.
Boy.
When the woman made a U-turn, she told police that Johnson continued to follow her southbound on the highway. According to an arrest affidavit, an officer responded to the call, saw Johnson jump out of the BMW carrying a small hammer, and broke the driver's side window of the victim's car in an attempt to then hit the driver.
Miracle! What are you doing?
You know what you call that? If Miracle starts beating on the other driver, what's that called?
A miracle whip?
It's a miracle whip! You're right, sister.
Thank you. Thank you.
It's Miracle Whip.
Yeah, that's right, yes. It's, I get jokes, I tell you.
Man, I set you up on that one, man. Yeah, baby. MJ with the assist.
Her sister's name is Hail Mary.
It's a miracle. It's a Miracle Whip. Oh, my God. Anyway, so the cops showed up. And they were able to take Miracle Johnson into custody. Oh, my God. It's a miracle whip.
Miracle!
So Johnson faces several charges, including operating a motor vehicle without a driver's license. All right, one more here before we got to take the break. All right, this is also crazy. And I get it. The theme here, it's all nutty women behind the wheel of a car. It's all crazy women today.
Oh, cars and golf carts. We had a golf cart lady earlier.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It was a golf cart, but it's all women behind the wheel today. That's the theme. The husband of this next woman, he's arrested on the scene for drunk driving. This happened in Wisconsin. They call it OWI. It's operating while intoxicated. You know, different states, you know, in Florida, we use DUI. States use DWI. Some states use OWI. And this is, listen to this. During her husband's OWI arrest, the wife drove the car away and she crashed into a telephone pole. And then she was arrested for drunk driving.
Wow.
I mean, what is going on? This happened again Sunday. These are all, this past weekend. Woman drove the vehicle away after the husband was pulled over and placed under arrest for OWI, operating while intoxicated. And then she drives off from the scene, crashes into a utility pole, making the vehicle inoperable. And then she's arrested. So both husband and wife, the same damn traffic stop, essentially, both hit with drunk driving.
The officer's going to need a little backup on that family.
Oh, my God. I mean, just insanity. All right, in a moment, the minute we get back, we got a long, long MJ Morning Show segment coming up next. When we get back, I had a crazy vivid dream last night. Roxanne, you got to get into your whole dream interpretation mode and tell me. I had a vivid dream that scared the schnit out of me, all right? And Michelle was in the dream. I mean, this must have some deep meaning. This dream last night scared me. Fester.
Yes.
You've got the spooning incident that you got to talk about.
I don't know if incident's the right word, but...
There's a spooning situation.
Okay.
This came via text. Who wants to spoon with Fester? That's the big teaser here. Who wants to spoon with the Fester? We'll explain it all next in my crazy dream. The latest on Bob Saget. We have the 911 call that was placed from the hotel. And then, of course, the conflicting early stories. So we'll sort it all out. We got a loaded segment next here on the MJ Morning Show on Q105. So don't miss it.
This is the MJ Morning Show podcast.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Thanks for listening to the MJ Morning Show podcast.
Oh, it's the MJ Morning Show. It's Q105, 728 here on Tuesday morning. We're all in studio, me and Fester and Roxanne and Coop, of course. Froggy's at home because of the COVID Omicron protocol, and Froggy's youngest kid, Luke, has the Omicron, has tested positive. And then we heard last night that Kim, Froggy's wife, is not feeling well. So, Froggy, is it your guess? Is it her guess that maybe she's got the Omicron as well? Because, you know, what we're hearing is that with some of the other variants of COVID, that other family members were able to sometimes dodge it. But what I'm hearing that if somebody in the house has Omicron, that it's almost certain that the whole damn house is getting the Omicron, Froggy. Froggy?
Is he even there?
Okay, he's not even here.
I want to talk about that a little bit more.
Yep.
This, to me, is turning into a very dysfunctional excuse. Because then what is it going to go through? What if Kim gets it and then Max gets it?
What's an excuse? Then, if you get it, get it. What's an excuse?
It could literally take like 20 days to pass through the whole house.
Yeah, but what's an excuse?
The excuse is, I mean, you got to just keep, you're going to be out of work for 20 days.
Well, how's that an excuse? I mean, but it's real. It's not like a phony thing.
I know, but I'm just saying, like, this is never
you
ending.
Accusing me of lies?
Accusing you of milking this.
Trust me, I'm bored to death over here.
It's 2 days old. This is only his second day at home.
Yeah, nobody, I don't want to, it's so not fun doing the show from here.
Yeah.
I wish I was in the studio.
We just called for you like a minute ago and then you were gone.
I was talking to Kim to see how she feels.
Well, that's what I want to know. How does Kim feel?
She gave me a, and then I came in here. That's all I got.
Does she think
an update later.
Does she think she has it? What's the story?
She's going to get tested this morning. She's going to the doctor's office. They have an appointment.
Yeah, so they're going to get actually tested. Because, you know, folks are using the home test kit if they can find them. And, you know, there's price gouging on. Some places are gouging on prices, but in most places, you can't even find the kits. All right, hold on. I'm going to get to my dream here in a second. I had a crazy dream last night, and then Fester and this whacked out text that he got. The latest on Bob Saget, all coming up in just a minute. Hey, Froggy, just to let you know that I'm thinking of you, because Froggy's wife, Kim, was speaking to Michelle, and she was trying to find more tests, because Kim's parents, they had a whole bunch of tests. They gave a couple of them to Froggy and his wife, but then Froggy and Kim, they ran out of tests, and now you got the whole family potentially exposed. And, you know, as I said earlier, Froggy's house is Omicron rated number one. Omicron rated number one.
That.
I'm sorry, what?
They just brought the lawn sign saying this house is Omicron rated number one in this neighborhood. So
Omicron.
It's out there right now.
All right, so listen.
It's like the yard of the month sign.
I don't want you to say ever again that I'm not a considerate human being, because you know what I did for you and your family yesterday?
Well, I know you're considerate because one time you came over to fix Kim's car, so that was nice.
I did. At 10 o'clock at night, I came over just to fix Kim's car. Because she had...
I don't know how to do manly things as such, so he came and did it.
Exactly. Wow. 10 o'clock at night, I went over to... So yesterday, as you know, after the show, I talked about this yesterday, after the show, I was heading for my yearly physical. I went to Dr. L, I had my blood draw, I had my EKG, they put the thing in my ear, and I had to raise my hand when I heard a little beep, and yeah, I had the whole shebang. My blood work was done, so I had the blood drawn, I had to do the urine sample, the whole thing.
And how did the EKG look?
Well, nothing abnormal, but Dr. L will go over all of my results. My follow-up appointment with all my blood results is in like 2.5 weeks. So, but listen, the point is...
You lose any chest hair?
You know what? They had to shave a little bit of chest hair to get the
ew.
You know, the EKG.
he's like a spotted cheetah now.
Hey, Rox, you want to see my bald spot on my chest?
I'll pass, thanks.
You scream Kelly Clarkson?
I'll take my shirt off right now on our live video stream. That's what I'll do.
Please do.
Listen to how considerate I am, Froggy. On the way to South Tampa to Dr. L's medical office, I was running a little early after leaving the morning show at the very end yesterday, and I went over the Gandy Bridge, and I needed to make a left turn onto MacDill, and right there at Gandy and MacDill, you've got the CVS on one corner, you've got the Walgreens on the other corner, and I pulled in to see if they happened to have any home COVID tests for you guys, and... Of course, they were sold out. And I walk in there, and they didn't have signs on the door. See, a lot of the pharmacies, let me tell you right now, attention pharmacies, if you're Walgreens, if you're CVS, if you're a Publix with a pharmacy, a Winn-Dixie with a pharmacy, Walmart, wherever, a mom-and-pop pharmacy, you know, an independent pharmacy like the Great Independent Pharmacy on West Shore, near Poe.
Yeah, the West Shore Pharmacy.
Yeah, West Shore Pharmacy. Folks, if you're working at a drugstore and if you're sold out of the COVID home tests that everyone is looking for, put a sign in your window so people can just drive by and not get out of the car and have to walk all the way back to the pharmacy. Because I'll tell you, a bunch of places, they put the signs right in the front window or the front door of the store. Sorry, sold out of home COVID tests or sold out of COVID tests. So both stores, the Walgreens and the CVS at Gandy and MacDill in South Tampa, no signs in the window. Nothing. Zero zilch. So I walk in because I want to try to get some tests for you and Kim and the kids, Froggy, because I'm thinking about you guys. I'm being considerate here. And I go all the way back at the Walgreens. I went all the way back to the pharmacy, and they had a sign back there. Sorry, sold out of COVID tests. And I said to the pharmacist,
Oh, God.
Did you?
Because here you go with your advice on how to, I mean... Once again, the Larry David comes out of you. It's like nonstop.
Think about it, Frog. I mean, if you're infected, you walk in there, you're walking the whole length of the store, breathing heavy, walking all the way back out, not to get what you need.
So I said to the pharmacist, I said, hey, I see you have a sign sold out. And I said, you really ought to have a sign in the front door of the store that you're sold out so people don't even have to come in. And she said to me, oh, my God, I wish... So
just do it.
Exactly. I said to her, and you know, okay, I guess more Larry David. I said, well, just, I said, well, why don't you just ask the store manager to put the sign in the front door of the store? And the pharmacist said, you know what? That's a good idea. I think I will. I'm like, what the hell? I gotta think of this. Really?
MJ, you're not Larry David. You're Karen.
Oh, yeah, great.
Yeah, you really are a Karen, man.
MJ actually pulled out a Sharpie and started making a sign for her. There you go. Use this sign.
I got out that shoe polish that the kids use when they graduate, and they write the signs on, like, you know, where they're going to college on the back window of their car.
Wrote on the glass door.
But both stores, CVS and Walgreens in South Tampa, neither had signs. But I have seen places. Like, when I drove Julian back to boarding school in Connecticut a couple of weekends ago, All of the stores, they had signs in the window. Some had huge, like, fluorescent poster boards with black Sharpie in the window that said, sorry, no COVID tests. It just makes sense. So the pharmacist, people are walking all the way back to the pharmacist. And the pharmacist and the techs back there got to say, oh, sorry, we're out. Put a sign on the front. I mean, this is not difficult. Just put a sign on the front door. You're going to prevent 99% of the people from coming back and nudging you, bothering you.
All right, what you're saying is take a piece of cardboard and write some markings on it.
Just take
Coop,
it.
The Curb Your Enthusiasm theme would be great right now.
I don't even see Coop.
It's just constant.
Hey, Coop is hiding back there.
You have the Curb Your... Are you listening to the show in there by any chance? All right, just checking. All right, so... just put a sign in the window. You don't have to get poster board. You just go on your computer and make a Word document on on a piece of copy machine paper. Just go ahead and in 72-point font, just write, sorry, all out of COVID tests.
Get one of those sign flippers.
That's a great idea.
I look at those guys all the time.
Yeah, mesmerizing.
New home developments or new restaurants have to hide the sign flippers.
Or wait a minute. You always see the sign flippers now in front of
the tax places.
Not the CBD oil places.
Those guys are the best because they're getting high on their own supply. Those guys are lit.
I see them in front of those marijuana joints all the time. All right. So... where was I?
You had a dream?
Your dreams.
I gotta get to the dream. But listen, and where are the COVID tests? I mean, obviously there's a big lapse in, you know, the supply of these home COVID tests. All right. So on to my dream. Coop, you never found the Curb Your Enthusiasm music? I guess not. Coop's, is that
correct? I'm answering phones. I'm trying to edit down this picture. I'm listening.
Right. He's only one guy, MJ.
I'm sorry.
Hey, if Froggy said it, not me. Right.
Good call, Coop.
So I had the most bizarre dream last night. You know that a lot of dreams you just forget. A lot of dreams you don't remember. Yeah. But then you have those dreams that are vivid and you remember the detail is real. You wake up and it's like, you know, your heart is racing, and once you wake up and you're cognizant, it takes a couple of seconds for you to realize, ooh, that was a dream.
They stick with you the feeling still sticks with you.
Out of that nightmare, the dream is over, and you have that realization, and, you know, you catch your breath, and you exhale, and you're like, oh, man, thank God that was a dream. And sometimes you have those dreams where you're in the middle of them, and they just seem so real. And they're also the dreams that you remember. Because you know how many dreams, you know how many tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of dreams you have during your lifetime that you just don't even remember. But then you have the certain number of dreams that I remember a few weird ones from when I was a little kid. There are certain dreams that just stick with you your whole life. And the one
dreams, does anybody else have their, like, almost sets in their dreams? Like, mine's always at, like, five different places, like a college, and then one's at a convention center all the time. I have, like, certain places that my dreams tap in at.
I totally have that. Movie sets.
What?
I have the different movie sets.
Yeah, they're like movie sets almost. Wait, MJ, you don't have that?
No, I don't have that.
I have a couple different places I go. And the weird thing is I've never been to the places that I go in my dream.
Wait a minute.
One's like a house party, but a really fancy house.
Are you literally on a movie set with the director saying, and action?
No. Just saying that a lot of my dreams happen in the same places.
Yeah, regardless of what the dream is about, it's the same backdrop.
Yes.
Here's the deal. And should I call Michelle was with me in the dream. Should I call Michelle?
Yeah.
Is this sexual?
No, it's not.
Oh, damn it. Don't call her.
Oh, you only want me to call Michelle if it was a sexual dream? Mean, is that it? You sicko. By the way,
I'm just saying I'd listen to half that conversation if you know what I mean.
All right. Michelle, pick up, will you please?
Hello.
Hey, I just wanted to bring you in on this. I'm just telling the crew, I had the freakiest damn dream last night. I mean, this rattled me. It's not often that a dream rattles me, but I was rattled. I wanted to share this with you to see if you have any idea why this was planted in my head. Roxanne, get your dream interpretation crap ready to go.
It's cranked up.
So we're driving a big truck, and it has all of our possessions. We're moving. For whatever reason, we are moving. So I don't know what moving indicates or signifies in a dream, but we're driving a large, large truck. I think it was almost like a tractor trailer or a big, giant box truck.
Thought to be a positive symol, embodies strength and toughness.
Can I tell the story first?
A little premature.
Why don't you let me tell the whole story first?
I'm so strong that I drive trucks in my dreams. Now,
let me get through the first 2 seconds of the dream there, Rox. So, Michelle, you and I were in the vehicle. I'm driving this big truck, and all of our furniture is in there, all of our clothes, all of our mementos, our keepsakes, everything.
What about tchotchkes?
Tchotchkes. I've got the corner curio cabinet. I got the collection of Michelle's Beanie Babies.
Knickknacks,
everything.
What about your bric-a-bracs?
I've got the bric-a-brac. I've got the whole plate collection from the Franklin Mint. So everything, all of our worldly possessions, everything's in the truck.
How big is a truck?
It's a large truck. Everything we own, we're moving, and everything we own is in the truck.
All right, so obviously Q105 has fired us, and we're on to the next show.
Maybe so.
Okay, all right.
So I stop at a truck stop to get gas in the truck.
So Flying J?
I don't know. It was either Pilot, Flying J, maybe a Bucky's. I don't know.
Travel America?
Yeah, it could be a Travel America.
Yeah, who knows?
So I that was nondescript, so I don't know what it was. So I pull into the truck stop to gas up the truck, and I think I sort of merged a mobile home scenario in, because there were a whole bunch of tanks in the back of the truck, and one was for the gas and one was for water, and I ended up like
in the back of your truck,
in the
dream
back,
truck,
in the back of the dream truck. I end up putting like 20 gallons of gas into the water tank instead of the gas tank. And then I'm like, oh, geez, what did I do? In the meantime, while I'm trying to figure this out, and I'm staring at the pump, someone drives off with the truck. Michelle, at this point, you're out of the dream, and then you did appear later, because we were standing with the police trying to report the stolen truck. So I know that you didn't leave me at the gas station. I left the keys in the ignition in the truck. And someone stole the truck with all of our worldly possessions. Everything we own. All the clothes, everything. All we had were the clothes on our back.
Yeah, how pissed off
are they? I'm mad at you.
Everything was gone and stolen. And then the cops show up. And in the dream, they just didn't have any sense of urgency. And that was it. And then I woke up. And I was, seriously, my heart was beating. I was sweating. I'm like, oh my God. That's one of the scariest dreams I've had in a long time.
Just because they stole your stuff?
Everything. Can you imagine? Everything that we owned was stolen by whoever took the truck at the truck stop.
Okay, that just means you need to release your attachment to your earthly belongings. You are too obsessed with your stuff and your serial numbers of your stuff and all your different
things. Hold on, are you just making this up?
Yes.
It sounds like something horrific's about to happen in your life, and you're about to suffer a big loss.
Well, that's what's
wrong. Yeah, that's what's going to happen. Everybody has their own stuff. You're going to get all your stuff ripped out from under you. You're going to be homeless MJ pretty soon.
Well, Roxanne, I don't want you just making crap up. Usually you search.
I know, but I was on the dream meeting thing, and then you started talking about putting water in a fuel tank. So now I'm looking up what can happen to a fuel tank if you fill it with water.
Well, it's a combination of things. I made a mistake, and I put fuel in the water tank in the truck, and then somebody just drives off with the truck with all of our possessions in there. And that was it. I mean, there's got to be some meaning to the dream, but it did scare the crap out of me.
You're about to make a dumb mistake, and it's going to cost you everything. And the person who stole your truck, when they get to your clothes, they're going to be so pissed.
Michelle, I got to wrap this up, because I got to get to Fester and Spoonie.
You got to look it up.
Well, what do you think? What is your analysis. Do you have any idea what this could mean?
I have no idea, but usually when something bad happens in a dream, it's really a good thing in real life.
That's true. That's really? Very true.
Really? Mm-hmm.
It's preparing you.
What do you mean? Like, I had a dream my arm was amputated and I grow an extra arm? I mean, I don't understand.
No, that means you win the Powerball.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know.
Did your teeth fall out? If you go and research it and look it up, then you'll see, like, oh, it means, you know, you're going to come into money or something like that.
All right. Well, we'll see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
But I just thought I'd share it with you, Michelle, because that's the first dream in a long time that's kind of rattled me up good.
It's the only dream I ever know that I've heard you even mention, so.
Yeah. All right. Well, there you go. Obviously,
you're a non-dreamer.
Obviously, it rattled me, so.
Yeah, I could tell.
All right. Bye, sweetie.
Okay, bye.
Yeah, bye, sweetie. Bye.
All right. Before I get into Bob Saget, we've got the 911 call, the latest on Saget. We rolled out two potential scenarios yesterday, and actually both stories came out yesterday. But weirdly, there were two different stories about how Bob Saget was discovered. We hypothesized, we suggested both could happen, and both stories came out, but only one apparently is accurate. Hold on, we'll get to that in a minute. Stand by. Also, there is a police heroism story that is unbelievable. You want to talk about a bad day that turns actually good? I mean, you got to hear this story. So we got a lot coming up in just a moment. First, though, Fester has a mystery. Somebody apparently wants to spoon with Fester. Have you figured out who the mystery texters are, Fester?
You know what? I haven't, and I don't want to know. So I'm not going to pursue
somebody
this.
Somebody wants
any
to what?
I'm not going to pursue this any further.
It sounds like somebody wants to spoon with Fester.
Yeah, that was a big change I made in 2017 in my life. I stopped saying further and I say further now.
You know, this ought to be an MJ Morning Show contest. How'd you like to win the chance to spoon with Fester?
All right,
more like a ladle. A soup spoon.
I'll be the spoon or the dumpling. It doesn't matter.
All right, so this is only going to take a minute to tell the story, but this is a mystery that Fester's trying to figure out. Do you have the text in front of you?
I do.
Okay. Tell us. So yesterday. Oh, I'm sorry, Sunday, right?
It came to be Sunday at 11:19 in the morning.
Yeah, Fester just told us about this like late in the show yesterday. We just didn't have time to get it on the air. So we're telling the story today. So you get this on Sunday and a text comes in on your phone. And what does it say?
It's from an 813 number and it says, it's beautiful outside, just like you. And I love you. And we're going to have a nice day and watch football together and spoon later. So this just pops up in my text.
Right. And this is not in your directory or in your address book, so there's no name. All you have is
a phone number.
You've got two numbers, right?
Well, in the group text, there's me and two other people.
All right, so obviously, if there are three people in the group text, you're the odd guy out. You should not be in this. It's obviously the other two phone numbers that are talking about a beautiful day, watch football later, we're going to spoon.
All right, so
how the hell did you get mixed up in a spooning text?
I don't know, but I read the text like two or three times, and I chuckle because, I mean, I would put myself in the funnier category of guys. I joke around. I mean, the funnier category. I'm not terribly funny. I have friends who are funny.
Right.
For you two idiots. And I can picture somebody like, oh, I don't know, a froggy or a unitard sending me this kind of text in a joking capacity. I just don't recognize the number.
If that's a real text, the first question I have is, what kind of double life are you leading outside this show? I didn't know you were such a sensitive soul.
I'm a very sensitive soul, and I don't.
What is the speculation? Somebody clearly had your number. Somehow it ended up between a boyfriend or girlfriend or a husband and wife. Oh, yeah, baby.
I've been really trying.
Oh, time to spoon with Fester.
In hindsight, so much thought and emotion went into the text. It's beautiful outside, just like you. I love you. We're going to have a nice day. We're going to watch football and spoon later.
It's like poetic.
Really? Yeah. It's like a new couple.
It's like a Hallmark. Yeah. It's like a Hallmark card.
So then,
that's how you text somebody you're wooing.
So then, the second number that I don't recognize.
It is get it all. Yeah.
Writes back in all caps.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So, I'm odd man out now because I haven't replied back to our group chat. Well,
you got to reply back and say, who the hell is this?
No!
No, we need to call him back on the air.
So, I reply back with, my reply back is, sounds great. Because I'm thinking it's Froggy or so it's Big Lou or it's one of my friends.
Then you did respond back.
Right, I replied back with, sounds great.
And did they respond back to you?
Sounds great.
This is how they know I'm in the text chain. Because they must have blindly hit it.
Right.
Sorry, Dominic. We didn't know you were in our private thread.
All right, well, did you ask, who is this?
I get to this. He goes, we will delete
this. Like you jumped in there.
We apologize for the disrespect. So, being
official.
Suddenly his tone's totally changed from wanting to spoon with me to sorry for disrespect.
Fest right back right now.
I wrote back, I have neither of these numbers saved, so I'm not sure who I'll be spooning with.
So they know that you're Dominic. They know that you are you, but you don't know who they are.
I have no idea who these people are.
Send a text right now.
I don't want to know who they are.
I want to know who they are. Who are these people that want to spoon?
I really don't want to know who these people are. I'm not gonna harass these people because I don't know how I know these people. I mean, this.
Hearing, I bet you I know who it is.
Who?
Who?
Gus.
Who?
Gus, our old friend.
It's not Gus. I mean, it could be anybody.
I don't know. That's the only guy I can think of.
Fester, just send a note back. Hey, I'm really curious. Fester. Who is this? Just send.
All right, I'll send it back.
Do it right now. Send. Okay, right. Just say, hey, I'm really curious. I don't have you in the address book. By the way, who was this?
They're probably too embarrassed to say.
I mean, they're probably not going to say anything. But let me find the original text. I'll write back. I'll see if I can't figure out who these people are. I don't want to really investigate this.
But you have to figure it out.
Here's the thing. It just reminded me when Coop started playing that romantic music.
Yes.
I think this may have been a subtle invitation just to see if you would bite.
Oh, a threesome? Okay.
Roxanne.
Hope they have a reinforced bed.
Yeah. First of all, that's a good point, Froggy.
Need to call Sims Crane and have a lift brought in. Just to lower Fester in.
First of all, Roxanne, I'm not sure how you attract third wheels in your relationship. However, when I get the soft invitation, I reply back with, sounds great. sounds great.
I got to move on. But did you just send a text? By the way, who was this?
I just found the original text.
All right. Then send the note, by the way, who was this? The mystery is driving me crazy. All right? Who is this? By the way, who is this? And let's find out who it is.
Okay.
It is 7:54. It's the MJ Morning Show here on Q105. Hey, folks. On to the latest regarding Bob Saget. The 911 call, you know, kind of highly redacted. So there were a lot of dead spots in the 911 call where they cut out like the address and the hotel room name and the hotel room number and the name. And, you know, I understand like the hotel room number because, you know, there are some twisted. We talked about this yesterday.
I would only want the Saget suite at the Ritz-Carlton Orlando.
But you realize that they're kind of morbid people that would do that. Did we talk about Anna? We talked about this yesterday, right?
We talked about Anna Nicole being in other celebrities being in hotels.
Right. Mm-hmm. All right, so we have the 911 call. Then we have just a whole litany of little offshoots of the Saget story. We have the preliminary report from the Orange County Sheriff's Office and the medical examiner regarding Bob Saget, who he was a great guy. I met him somewhere between 3 and 5 times in Los Angeles when I was working in LA radio. And this was 1989, 1990, 91. And he came up numerous times. It was somewhere between 3 and 5 that he came up to our morning show on Pirate Radio, KQLZ, Los Angeles. And he was just a nice guy. And he was that that time frame. That was like the height of his career. Full House was on fire. You had America's Funniest Home Videos was a total smash on ABC. So if the guy was going to act like a privileged celebrity, I mean, that was the time that he could do it. But never. He was just a nice guy when every time he came in on the morning show, and it was like 3 or 5 times. And I just remember the guy was nice. And every time I'd see Saget over the years, I never saw him again. The last time I saw Bob Saget was like 1991. Just a nice guy. So that's my memory of Bob Saget. And then I've heard the same thing, that everyone thought the guy was a nice guy. And of course, his comedy was very sexual. His comedy was very blue. He was edgy. And he certainly was not the wholesome guy in his comedy act that he was like in Full House or America's Funniest Home Videos. But he was a great human being. He just had a stand-up act that was pretty edgy.
He had a persona.
Yeah, which I don't have an issue with that. And here is the 911 call. And again, there are two different stories that emerged yesterday, and we discussed both scenarios on this program when we were discussing what the hell happened before we had any details. You know, with Saget being found dead in his hotel a little after 4 o'clock on Sunday, we were just speculating what could have happened. It turns out that the two scenarios that hit the press yesterday, both are ones that we had surmised or speculated upon on the show yesterday. All right, here's the 911 call that came from the Ritz-Carlton Orlando to the Orange County Sheriff's Office. Listen.
911, what is the location of your emergency?
Good afternoon. I'm calling from the...
What is the address?
The address is...
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, what's going on there?
We have an unresponsive guest in a room. My officer is telling me that that there's no pulse and the...
Okay, what room number?
He's in room.
Okay. Non-responsive? Not breathing?
Yeah. Not responsive, not breathing, and no pulse.
Okay. Stay on the line for medical. One moment.
Thank you.
Do you know how old?
Which day for rescue?
Yes, 20.
And caller, I have the phone numbers.
The direct phone number.
All right, and then it cuts off right there. But you heard when it jumps around and questions were asked and you didn't hear the answer, there was just dead spot. So,
well, they're editing out information.
Yeah, they just let the tape roll but cut out the audio. So there was like 5 or 7 seconds of dead space. And I edited it all together to get rid of the dead space. But, you know, if they gave out the room number, seriously, there are like morbid, sick, twisted individuals that would want to stay in the Ritz-Carlton room, I don't know, 710 or, you know, whatever, wherever Bob Saget expired.
All right, I have a question.
Yes.
Does the Ritz-Carlton throw out the mattress?
You know, what do you do? No, seriously.
Housekeeping comes in, changes the sheets, and the next guest goes in.
You know, it seems the indication is that he died on the bed. And I'm going with our original supposition from yesterday that it was one of the big three, that Saget either died of a massive coronary, a heart attack, a stroke, or an aneurysm. And it seems like he might have died in his sleep. I hope the guy went peacefully. But, you know, 65 years old, you know, my brain does not really want to process that Bob Saget was 65.
No.
Because I still see young Bob Saget in my head, you know?
He looks young. And in a picture he just tweeted of himself, in his final tweet, he looks like a 50-year-old guy, if you ask me.
Yeah, you know, I was looking at the final tweet. I think I have...
I've got it pulled up.
Do you have the tweet or the Instagram?
This is the Instagram.
All right, so I've got the tweet. Then you get ready with the Instagram. So he tweeted out from his...
He looks exhausted as hell in that picture.
Yeah. Well, he tweeted out, "Love tonight's show at PV Concert Hall in Jacksonville. Appreciative audience. Thanks again to Real Tim Wilkins for opening. I had no idea I did a 2-hour set tonight. I'm happily addicted again to this bleep." He uses the S-bomb. "Check BobSaget.com for my dates in 2022. And he was hitting the road again, and he was excited for all of these upcoming dates. And then, Rox, you have... And then we'll get to the two different stories. There were two different stories that came out yesterday from media on what happened. And apparently one is true, one somehow is false, and I don't know how the narrative got out, but we'll get to that in a moment. But you've got Saget's Instagram and his last post there. What did that say?
Yes, "Love tonight's show at PV Concert Hall in..." No, I'm not going to read the whole thing. It's exactly the same.
Oh,
he must have done it. He must have done a copy paste.
But I thought the Instagram was a lot longer. No?
No, they're the same.
Exactly the same.
But Saget, you know, I'm looking at the tour, and interestingly, he stayed in Orlando, even though... How long is the drive from Orlando to Ponte Vedra to Jacksonville? It's got to be 2.5 hours, right? 3 hours?
It's not 3 hours. It's probably two,
hour and 45 minutes.
Why don't you go on your phone and, and map
I'm
it?
I'm doing
or,
it.
Yeah, just, Jacksonville's 3 hours from here.
Right.
Okay.
Right. So,
so Orlando to Jacksonville is how far? How long does it take?
We don't need to do math. Let's just do the actual directions.
Yeah. Right. Do the directions. Orlando to Jacksonville. How long does it take?
Yeah, Sacagawea. Tell us how to get there.
The reason why I'm bringing this up is because Saget had a show in Orlando on January 7th. So that was Friday night.
All right. It's 2 hours and 30 minutes, 141 miles if you follow I-4 to 95 up.
Yeah, 95 straight up.
Maybe it is a little longer than I thought.
All right. So Saget, Coop, was that what you were going to say?
I had 2 hours and 9 minutes if you take I-95.
Yeah, but you're going to take I-95, but you got to get to I-95 from Orlando. I-4. You take I-4 to I-95 and then head north. So Bob Saget did the Orlando show on Friday night, January 7th. Then he had Ponte Vedra, which is Jacksonville area, on Saturday night, January 8th. But he stayed in Orlando. It's just kind of interesting that he had the Orlando show on the Friday night, and then he was obviously at the Ritz-Carlton Orlando. But when he went to Ponte Vedra, Jacksonville area, on for Saturday's show, he kept his room, and he drove 2.5 hours, apparently, and then drove back. Because we know what time that he got back to the room, because we know what time Bob Saget swiped his key card in. But I'm looking at his other dates, which are obviously not going to happen. But he had Orlando on the 7th. He had Ponte Vedra, Jacksonville on the 8th. And then he was going to be off for 20 days. His next shows were not booked until January 28th and 29th in West Palm. Then he had February 4th and 5th in Oklahoma City. Then he had February in Rochester. He had February 18th and 19th in Spokane in Washington. He had March 4th in Dubuque. He had March 5th in Sioux City, Iowa.
We get it. He had a lot of tour dates lined up.
He had Phoenix, Glenside, Pennsylvania, Honolulu, then Dania Beach.
Anything in Sheboygan?
Nope. He had Foxwoods, Connecticut. He had Boston booked for May. He had Salt Lake City booked for May.
Anything into June?
Yep. June 17th and 18th.
You know what all these dates have in common?
He had Houston, Texas.
They're not going to happen. That's what they all have in common.
I know. But,
okay.
But also, the dates are really kind of spread out. It wasn't like when you see a music tour where, man, they're touring for like 3 months straight, and it's like they might have a night off here and there.
A lot of comics only work the weekends because that's when the comedy clubs are the busiest.
Yeah,
and
they spread
it out. Comics are different than concerts.
Yeah, no, you're right. You're right. So, but that was Saget's tour date. Now we get to the stories. We get to the scenarios, and two different narratives came out. We think we know which one is accurate because it's from the police report. But one of the first stories that came out, apparently this is like from People magazine, but it's wrong. It was reported because the New York Post picked this up, the London Sun picked this up, and People magazine had this, that Bob Saget was found dead in his Florida hotel room bed by a housekeeper after he missed his late checkout time, according to a new report. But apparently that's not true. The story says the cleaner made the discovery when she entered his room at the Ritz-Carlton in Orlando at about 4 p.m. on Sunday, an hour after the 65-year-old was due to check out, according to a source that told People.
So he had a late checkout.
The Full House's star's bags were already packed by the door, and the room was neat, according to the magazine. There were reportedly no signs of disturbance or trauma. After calling 911, the housekeeper manager performed CPR on Saget until paramedics arrived. Now, that was the story, again, that was published in multiple sources, allegedly attributed to People magazine, but that it's not far off what happened, but there are a lot of facts that are wrong there, apparently, because in the sheriff's report that came out yesterday, it was another scenario that we had guessed about, that the family couldn't get a hold of him. So they called the hotel to check and see, where's Bob? And apparently that is what happened. The official Orange County report that came out says that Saget was expected to check out Sunday and his family had been unable to get a hold of him. Records showed the last time he used his key card to enter the room was 2:17 a.m. Sunday morning. So that means that he finished the show in Jacksonville in Ponte Vedra and then drove 2+ hours back to the Ritz-Carlton in Orlando. The key card to get into his room was used at 2:17 a.m.
That's a heck of a drive to make that late at night.
Yeah, so did he drive himself? Did he have, like, an Enterprise or a Hertz rental car? Or did he
probably had an SUV drive him.
Did he have a car service take him? Or, you know, I don't know. Family members contacted the Ritz-Carlton security, who sent a team member to perform a welfare check. When the security team member entered the room, he noted all the lights were off. Investigators found no signs of foul play. The room was orderly. Bob Saget's items were on the nightstand, the TV stand, in the closet, and bathroom. According to the report, Saget's left arm was across his chest while his right arm was resting on the bed. No signs of trauma were seen. He observed that Saget was on his bed and was cold to the touch, yellow and clammy. No pulse or breathing was detected. Hotel management spoke to Saget's wife, Kelly Rizzo, to inform her of his death, and he was pronounced dead at 4:18 p.m. And, of course, the medical examiner will ultimately determine the cause of death, the manner of death. You know, we're guessing heart attack, stroke, or some type of an aneurysm. I'm leaning toward just he had a massive heart attack. And I believe, so he got into the room at 2:17. And if you look at his tweet, the tweet time, and I think I've got the posting on the tweet time. Let me go back. I think he posted the tweet at like 3:40 in the morning. Is when he posted that tweet.
Yeah, 3:42 a.m.
Yeah. So he died somewhere between 3:42 a.m. and 4 o'clock when he was discovered. I don't know if they're going to be able to determine the time of death, but, you know, I feel so bad for the family. You know, that's got to be the worst. You know, your loved one is on the road. You're not with them. You can't say goodbye. And, you know, I'm sure all those horrible emotions are going through Saget's wife's head, the adult kid's head. You know, he died alone in a hotel room in freaking Orlando,
right, so
Florida.
Two things. One, he died asleep, and he died in the Ritz-Carlton.
Well, we don't know that. It's possible he died during his sleep.
He died resting in his bed in a sleeping-like position.
I hope he went peacefully. That's all I have to say, because he's just a nice guy.
And if you're
going
to...
Going in your sleep in the Ritz-Carlton, I mean...
I have no issues with that.
I'll tell you what, the Ritz-Carlton has amazing mattresses. They have high-quality mattresses, and they've got the best down comforters. The pillows that the Ritz-Carlton uses are amazing as well.
Yes.
I think they use like Pillowtex pillows out of New Jersey.
Maybe it was all too comfortable.
They're like all down pillows. They're fantastic.
You're talking to somebody who spent the weekend at the Holiday Inn Resort. And let me tell you right now, I'd hate to die there. But the Ritz-Carlton in Orlando?
Hey, what's the name of the hotel on, was it where the Digital Underground, the Humpty Dance guy, the name?
That's the Vista Inn on Bears?
Yeah, that guy, he died at the Vista Inn on Bears. That man, talk about it. I think I'd rather go at the Ritz-Carlton than the Vista Inn on Bears.
For as bad as I feel about Bob Saget.
Yeah,
pretty good way to go.
Is anyone interested in some information about what happens to a hotel room that someone has passed in?
Yeah, of course, okay. Yeah.
So according to one of our texters, unless there's bodily fluid on a mattress, they would keep the mattress, but they also spiritually cleanse the room.
What?
Because frequently housekeepers are reluctant to enter the room without the spiritual cleansing.
Really? So you got to do some Santa Maria thing or whatever?
Well, I mean, a lot of the housekeepers come from different parts of the world, different cultures.
That's true. They're all spooked out by, they get the heebie-jeebies in there.
Okay.
So wait a minute. You're telling me the Ritz-Carlton Orlando is going to have to bring in some kind of, like, exorcist? Or actually, they're going to have to bring in someone to spiritually cleanse the room?
Just a shaman. Just a shaman. And... they'll clean the room.
Miss Cleo with her little fruit hat? Are they going to bring her in?
Whatever makes the
evil spirits, come out. Bob Saget, leave the room. I mean, that's what they're going to have to do?
Whatever makes the housekeeper go back into the room is what they're going to do.
Something strange. Oh, stop it, Coop. Oh, God.
Bob Saget's ghost laying in the bed.
Listen, rest in peace, Bob Saget. I mean, just a really nice guy. I saw that the family obviously is devastated. Bob Saget apparently spoke with his wife, Kelly Rizzo, hours before his death. I would imagine that Bob Saget probably called his wife out in California right after the Jacksonville gig, after he was leaving Ponte Vedra.
Maybe during that two-hour car ride to Orlando. Yeah,
during the car ride, spoke to the wife and probably said, oh, man, the show was great.
I'm exhausted. I feel like I could sleep forever.
Bob Saget was so excited coming off a great show on Saturday night, a source told People. But people also had part of the story about him being found wrong. Hours before his sudden death on Sunday, Bob Saget spoke to his wife, Kelly Rizzo. Source tells People that Rizzo talked to the 65-year-old Full House star in the early morning hours Sunday after a stand-up show near Jacksonville. Oh, there you have it. And then you saw a message from what? One of Saget's adult daughters?
One of his adult daughters. And it was just from, she posted it on Instagram. It was from him to her. And all it said was simply, thank you, love you, showtime, exclamation point. So really indicative of, you know, just loving what he was doing.
Okay.
All right, Bob Saget, rest in peace. And I'm sure that in the next, maybe the next few days, we might have a more definitive answer, because they did the autopsy. They probably already know what really killed him, and I'm guessing it could be a heart attack is what took him. All right. If you have to, this is crazy. If you have to crash land an airplane, if you've got to land your plane, you've got an emergency landing situation. That's bad enough, right? So
yeah.
You're flying an airplane. You're flying a Cessna 172, little, you know, just a fixed wing, single engine deal. You got a Cessna 172, and it's harrowing enough that you've got to land on the street because you're having problems with your airplane, right?
Right.
What are the odds that you're in a plane, you have to make an emergency landing, so you have a rough landing on the road? What are the odds that you then land on a railroad track and then a train comes and smashes into your plane that you just landed on the road?
Oh, no.
Oh, my.
That's Lemony Snicket right there.
That is
serious.
Folks, this story is unbelievable. The audio is unbelievable. To anyone that wants to scream, defund the police, defund this. The LAPD... You had officers with the LAPD. They grabbed the pilot, who was alive, but banged up. His head is all bloody. He just, like, crash-landed on railroad tracks. I think it was out in Pacoima, California, in Los Angeles County. But can you imagine you survive landing a plane or crash-landing a plane? You land on railroad tracks, and then here comes the commuter train at 70 miles an hour and barrels through your airplane that's sitting on the railroad tracks. I mean, what's next? Is like a meteorite going to hit the guy in the head?
It's the only thing worse.
What's next?
A tidal wave out of nowhere.
This is just insane. Officers in California, they save the life of the pilot. This is what cops do. This is what first responders do. Firefighters, EMTs, cops. Officers in California save this pilot. He crashed onto the railroad tracks seconds before a train smashed through the airplane and busted it into a million pieces. On Sunday, a Cessna 172 made an emergency landing around 2 p.m. Pacific, shortly after taking off from the Whiteman Airport in Pacoima. Two officers from Los Angeles Police Department can be seen on body camera footage pulling the bloodied pilot out of the airplane cockpit moments before the train smashes through the airplane. Here's the audio. This is absolutely unbelievable. Listen to this.
Crazy.
It is insane.
That's like crazier than movie scenes.
Coop, do you have the video up on our website? Do you have this up?
Yeah, the video is insane. It's up right now.
The video is crazy. And the video is up at mjmorningshow.com. That's mjmorningshow.com. And you can see, when you watch the video, there's going to be silence. So the audio is turned off, and then the audio comes on, like in the middle of the video, and then the audio goes silent again. But the money shot is there, where you can, the cops yank him out of the plane, and then they're running away. They see the train is bearing down on the crossing where the airplane is, and you can hear the cop saying, go, 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 to get away from it. And the train, you see, just barrels right through the... What are the odds you crash land your airplane right on freaking railroad tracks at a crossing?
Well, you know, if you're on a street, the railroad tracks are off in a divot, so it might have been a really hard stop as the tire fell into the rut.
Go, 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 go!
And then you can hear the cops like, oh, they got away with seconds to spare. The pilot would have been pulverized. You survive. Can you imagine? You survive a plane crash landing only to be taken up by a train 2 seconds later. What the hell?
The pilot was in rough shape. In the 18-second clip that they put at the Los Angeles Police Department's Twitter page, you see a bloodied pilot being removed from this plane.
Folks, if you want to see crazy video, go to MJMorningShow.com, MJMorningShow.com. One more time on the audio.
Go, 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 go!
That is just unbelievable. That is just crazy. Did you see the first, like, pig heart being transplanted into a human? Did you see this?
All right, so this happened, what, in Maryland?
Yeah.
University of Maryland doctors?
Yeah, University of Maryland. This, and when I saw this story, when I heard about this, you know what immediately jumped into my head?
That he went wee, wee, wee all the way home?
Oh, that's close. That's pretty, this little piggy went wee, wee, wee. This little piggy had roast beef. That's part
that's
of the
in my head. Yeah,
that's part of the reason he had too much roast beef. He had hardened arteries. He had too much red meat in his diet. So in a medical first, doctors transplanted a pig heart into a patient. This is like a last ditch attempt to save his life because he was in such bad shape. He was not physically, they didn't find him to be a good candidate for a real human heart transplant. So he wasn't going to get a human heart. So the guy was going to die. So they said, you know, hey, what the hell? We'll just put a pig heart in this guy.
If you're going to die, and you have an opportunity to advance medical technology by being a guinea pig, maybe you live. Who knows? It's the only chance he had.
Doctors at the University of Maryland Medical Center say the transplant showed that a heart from a genetically modified animal can function in the human body. The patient was 57-year-old David Bennett of Maryland. He was a handyman. There was no guarantee the experiment would work, but he was dying anyway, and he was ineligible for a human heart transplant, and there was no other option.
Hey, what do you do?
So they go with the little piggy heart, went wee, wee, wee all the way home. But you know what popped into my head?
What?
And then unbelievably, audio has emerged from the hospital. This is crazy. So audio, sound and video has emerged. So the guy is in the recovery room. He just got the pig heart and video has emerged. I want you to hear the sound of exactly what happened.
Oh, it's a pig man. A pig man.
I just saw a pig man. A pig man. You know, he was sleeping, and then he woke up, and he looked at me, and he made this horrible sound, this...
Hey, but what the hell are you talking about?
I'm talking about a pig man. I walked into the wrong room, and there he was.
A pig man.
A pig man. Half pig, half man.
It's a great episode.
Like, God, there's a studio audience there as well.
There's an entire it's a teaching hospital. It's the University of Maryland.
Wait a second. That's only the first clip.
There's more pigmen.
There's another. There's more pigmen.
I know what's going on.
Dr. Seidelman?
The oink, oink. Yes, well, if you'll excuse me, I have some patients that now really listen have to me, you little quack. There was a half man, half pig in that room over there. Now, where is he? Where is he?
Half what?
You know what I mean. Pork, sausage.
Abadee. That's all, folks.
I think he's been released. He's lying.
The pig man. The guy with the pig heart. Hopefully this guy lives a long time.
You are a rude, faultless little pig.
What does that mean if you have the heart of a pig?
Well, okay. What do you think it means?
You know, they've used pig valves. Remember, years ago, I know that they used pig valves to replace a human valve, right?
Right. And if they
use, but this is the whole heart.
It's the whole muscle.
Yeah. I think it's quite impressive. Let's see what happens.
Why'd they roll out like a pig heart versus a horse? Well, I guess that's pretty big.
Because I think
the pig
is most compatible potentially with a human.
Makes sense with men.
I mean, you're not going to use a lizard heart, Roxanne.
Did he totally walk by your joke, Roxanne?
What?
Go ahead. MJ says,
yeah.
A pig's heart is most compatible with humans, and Roxanne just slips in the...
Makes sense with men.
Well, I guess that did slip by me.
Good job,
a little dig for everyone
for
in here.
Half of society.
So you're calling men pigs, Roxanne? Is that what you're doing?
I'm just making funny jokes.
All right, Doug, good luck tonight.
All right, so Roxanne, you're trying to push me. You want me to do cameos?
I think you should. I think you should look into this.
All right, so Roxanne is trying to get me to do the cameo. We've talked about this a million times. It's like, listen, this is not a mystery. It's, you know, we're not strangers to this. The Cameo platform, if you're not aware, the Cameo platform, what is it? It's cameo.com.
Yeah.
And it is a platform and a business model where celebrities will record personal messages for people for a fee. And the prices range from, you know, $25 or whatever you want to set as the bottom to it could be thousands of dollars. For instance, Fessy, you're on the front page right now, right?
Yeah.
So an example, like Gilbert Gottfried, who, by the way, he was interviewed all over the place because he was friends with Bob Saget. Gilbert Gottfried will do, within 24 hours, a 24-hour turnaround, Gilbert Gottfried, from $175, will record a... Hi, it's Gilbert Gottfried, and I... What the hell's that, Coop?
It was Gilbert Gottfried's laugh.
Oh, it was?
All right, so here's Kevin O'Leary from Shark Tank.
Mr. Wonderful.
So
Gilbert Gottfried will do a message for you starting at $175.
Can I pay him not to do a message for me?
Yeah, I'll pay $175 to shut your clam hole. All right, so Mr. Wonderful, Kevin O'Leary from Shark Tank, he does personal messages on Cameo for people, shooting a personal video, from $1,500. Vanilla Ice.
Oh, my third favorite white rapper.
Yeah, Ice Baby, Vanilla Ice, will do a personalized video for you starting at $399.
And they have these broken down into categories, trending people, news and noteworthy people, and then featured people.
Yeah. Oh, LeVar Ball. He's the father of the basketball players.
Stay in your lane.
Yeah.
That's who he is.
Yeah. Exactly. He'll do a mess. I mean, Chris Hansen?
From To Catch a Predator?
Yeah, Chris Hansen. So, tell me, why did you bring the vodka and condoms? You know, the guy shows up and then here comes Chris Hansen from, you know, out of the kitchen. You know, the guy's expecting to like hook up with a 14-year-old girl. This sicko brings, you know, he brings wine coolers and condoms, and here comes Chris Hansen. Chris Hansen will shoot a cameo for you for $75. Oh my God.
So it really runs the gamut of celebrity, and it really pushes the boundaries of what the word celebrity means.
Well, it turns out, folks, that Roxanne is now trying to suggest that I do cameos, but Roxanne also was a cameo customer. Oh, is that Dee Snider from Twisted Sister?
Right there. Dee Snider.
Dee Snider from We're Not Gonna Take It.
But you know what he will take?
He'll take $250 Oh, look at this. Barry Williams, Greg Brady will do it from $140.
Oh, geez, go away.
Oh, I don't have an issue with him.
So they have a bunch of,
Ted Nugent from $300. Oh, speaking of Seinfeld, John O'Hurley, Mr. Peterman.
Oh, I love him.
Well, Elaine, he'll do it from $199. Tom Arnold will do... Really? Tom Arnold will do a message for you?
I hate him.
You hate Tom Arnold?
Yeah.
See, I'm the exact opposite. I hate John O'Hurley. I love Tom Arnold.
Tom Arnold came to our table We were at,
hate Tom Arnold. Tom Arnold's awesome.
Yeah, Tom Arnold.
Burns?
I've spent more time with Tom Arnold than you have, and I hate him.
No, we were at Ruth's Chris Steakhouse when Robin was the manager there. Robin was the best manager. So Robin, and for whatever reason, hold on a second. Michelle will know. Why did he, hold on a minute. And then we'll get to the cameo thing. Hold on.
You got his cream spinach and he was all pissed about it? But why did he come to the table?
No, he came to our table. Tom Arnold, we're sitting down, we're having dinner at Ruth's Chris, and Tom Arnold was in town for something, and he was like enamored with Michelle. I think he was trying to pick up Michelle.
Hello?
Hey, why did Tom Arnold stay at our table for like 15 minutes when we were at Ruth's Chris Steakhouse that time?
He's just a friendly guy.
But we were just having dinner, but why did he end up at our table? Did, like, Robin send him over? Why did he end up at our table?
I think he might have been with somebody that Robin brought over to introduce to us.
So Robin was the manager at Ruth's Chris, right on West Shore.
He was with that baseball player, I think.
Oh, that's right.
He used to be really good friends with that baseball player.
Do you remember? Daryl Strawberry?
David Wells.
Do you remember which
one? Yes, I think it was David Wells.
Oh, you're right. It was David Wells.
Look how Roxanne could just
Roxanne,
that
boom. It was, so
I can connect dots.
Was so, it Dwight Gooden?
David Wells, apparently. David Wells was, that's right. David Wells was familiar with the MJ Morning Show and used to listen to us all the time. And he wanted to meet me and Michelle. So David Wells comes over and he's with Tom Arnold. So I got David, that's right, David Wells and Tom Arnold are standing at our table. I think they came into the booth and sat down for like 15 minutes.
Yeah.
That's annoying.
And then Tom Arnold, I think he was picking off my plate.
Yeah.
No.
You're going to eat that mushroom? I'll take it right off the top.
But Tom Arnold was eyeing you, Michelle. You must have been looking good that night.
He was very nice.
Yeah, he was. Oh, they were both nice. Yeah, Tom Arnold was nice. Mm-hmm. Well, guess what? For what? How about $139?
Yeah, $139, he could send you a personal message. I mean, a lot of Carol Baskin's on here for $249.
Right.
You know, $249.
Oh, there's Wayne Knight from, he's Newman. Wayne Knight, Newman from Seinfeld. He'll do it from $330.
Okay, so everybody knows what Cameo is. It's
right.
B-list celebrities.
No, not always. There are some A-listers on here.
Mostly B, C, D, E, and F.
There's Joe Theismann. There's Don Johnson. Oh, Flavor Flav.
I'm trying to save up for Don Johnson.
Oh, Don Johnson.
He's $500.
Yeah, he is. You're right. Don Johnson is $500.
You're trying to save up for Don. What are you, clipping coupons, Roxanne?
What do you like, have a little nickel jar going? Oh, my God. I'm saving all the money I can to try to get a cameo from Don Johnson.
No, she's buying.
That's Don Johnson's hot.
She's buying dented cans of corn to save a quarter off of them for the Don Johnson fund.
You know, things are tight. Our dream is really to get a cameo from Don Johnson. And we're kind of saving money. I'm not feeding the kids as much in order to save up enough money to get a cameo from Don Johnson.
I'm saving up for a cameo. Holy crap. All right, so what does that have to do with anything?
All right, Michelle.
Because I did like 10 of them.
All right. I'll let you go, Michelle. Turn up the radio. You can hear the rest of this, all right?
Okay, thank you. All
right. So, hey, Michelle.
Roxanne says, MJ, you ought to do cameos. I'm like, why? Turns out that Roxanne, how many cameos did you just buy?
Okay, I said 10, but really just 3.
Okay.
And I'm saving 4.
What cameos did you buy, and why did you buy cameos?
Okay, I bought cameos for Christmas and birthday gifts and a Get Well COVID gift.
Okay, number one, what was the first one?
Tanya Walker. You probably don't know her unless you're a big
Walker.
One Life to Live. Okay, she was a soap opera star on One Life to Live and General Hospital.
And
she did a super sweet cameo message for my mom for her birthday, and it was basically to the effect of, Roxanne and Angela are so happy that you raised them on soap operas, because we were raised on soap operas. And then she told like little anecdotes about
how long was the video?
I think about 3 or 4 minutes, maybe.
And
3 to 4 minutes.
How much did she charge?
She is at the lower end, $32.
$32?
Yeah, you didn't have to save up too long for Tanya Walker.
She shot a 4-minute video personalized and only charged you $32?
She did a great job.
Don't forget, a percentage of that, I think like 20 goes to the company.
You're right. You're right. Frog, you're 100% right. That's the business model, that Cameo takes a slice of whatever, they take a commission. for whatever, was it 20, 30, whatever it is. I don't know what it is.
They do. I think it's 10% or 15.
Coop, can you look up and see, and it might be a sliding scale. It might vary depending on what the charge is from the celebrity for the cameo. But Coop, look it up. See if there's a set figure or if it's a sliding scale. So, I mean.
So she probably did it for like $20.
But wait a minute.
She did a heck of a job.
I'm sure she did, but. I mean, $32 to shoot a 4-minute video. That's equivalent to the guy who's standing with a cardboard sign at Fletcher in the 275 off ramp.
Couple rounds of traffic, $20.
Right, when you have to set up your lighting and think about what you're going to say. Right. Well, the thing is, though, maybe she's ramping up because I noticed she hasn't done so many. So maybe we just caught her on the up. On the upswing, you know, it's going to be more expensive later.
Yeah. So 25% of any, like, of the fees for Cameo go to Cameo.
Okay.
Right. So they got $8 off.
I know someone who's on it, and they said it's 10%. Maybe they're getting a deal. I don't know. Okay.
All right. All right. So Tanya Walker from One Life to Live.
Okay. Who nobody's ever heard of.
And I had no idea. And plus, it also says she was on General Hospital.
Yes, right. She was.
So then, what is the second cameo you bought?
The second cameo is Linda Gray. Does everybody know who Linda Gray is?
These are the worst cameos ever.
From Dallas. Linda Gray from Dallas? All right, who did you get Linda Gray for?
For Doug's
mom. Because she lives in Texas?
What? This was a Christmas gift. You got a cameo for Doug. Dig Doug is Roxanne's fiance. So for Dig Doug's mom, now we have audio of this one, right?
We do. And she's a big fan of Dallas. So this was just so sweet. All right, this is Linda.
Let me hear this. Linda Gray, a cameo that Roxanne bought for Dig Doug's mother.
Hi, this is Linda Gray from the TV show Dallas. Sue Ellen Ewing. Remember her? I know. I remember her, and I love her to pieces. So how is this possible that I'm speaking to you? It's because your wonderful, wonderful granddaughters, Evelyn and Daviana, your granddaughters asked me to tell you a few, like a couple of Dallas.
All right, I don't want to hear any more of this.
Oh, my God.
Oh my God.
How much was Linda Gray?
She talked for a long time. I mean, she told stories.
She spoke for 3 hours.
She's elderly. Of course she's going to keep talking. Oh my gosh.
She goes, I'm from the show Dallas.
Froggy, you're right. It sounded like she was dying when she said the word Dallas.
I thought it was Betty White for a moment.
Can I hear her say Dallas again?
This was a great show, Dallas.
Yeah, my mom watches this all the time.
Bring in the horns.
Yeah.
They're those bulls.
Listen, man. Who shot JR?
All right, so Linda Gray speaks for 3 hours.
Yeah, but it was cool. She told the behind the scenes of how they all hated doing dinner scenes, and whenever they saw on the script there was going to be a dinner scene, they all went nuts. But you know what I was thinking about with her? She made up a good point. She is elderly, and so this is probably a great way for her. I started doing the math. She could probably pull in like $40,000 a year doing this.
She's supplementing her $278 monthly Social Security check with your cameo.
But staying connected and staying relevant.
All right, what's the last one?
The last one is my favorite that we did.
And who is this for?
Jack Wagner.
For who?
General Hospital, Melrose Place, for Doug's mom.
So you
another
gave...
Another soap opera guy?
Jack Wagner?
Yes.
Who the hell is that?
Oh, you know him. Yeah. You know him, Froggy. I promise you do.
Jack Wagner. Hold on. Let me bring up the song.
Like a porn star.
Hold on a minute. All right. So this is audio of Jack Wagner now, right? All right. Listen to this.
Most of all, I hope you have a great 2022. And remember that you're all I need.
So, Froggy, you remember this song? Yeah, this was a
colossal waste of money.
I think this was like
this. This is his song.
Yeah, this was like the summer of 1984. This was Jack Wagner.
Kissing you was not what I had planned.
This is all I need.
And now I'm not so sure just where I stand.
How much was Jack Wagner?
$85.
$85?
Worth every penny.
Now, did he show up in Melrose Place also?
Right.
He also showed up in Melrose Place.
And he was married to Heather Locklear.
Right.
That's you're all I need.
Hey, it still sounds good. The guy has 181 reviews with 5 stars. People love him.
So this is also from the cameo. He actually sang it.
That's you're all I need.
All I need is just a little more
That's right. And Roxanne is saving up for Don Johnson.
All Roxanne needs is a little more time to up for Don Johnson.
Let's do a GoFundMe account for Roxanne so she can get a cameo from Crockett and Tubbs.
Who's that woman? Struthers.
I looked up Tubbs. He's not on it. I would have gone for him as my second. You know,
Tubbs would have been like $12.
Tubbs will pay you.
Okay, so MJ, for $400, yes, we can get Sally Struthers to make a plea for Roxanne to raise $500 to get Don Johnson on. Why do you want MJ to do this?
Because it's just extra income, and it's just a nice way to interact with people, but also you're getting paid.
Extra income? There's no money in that.
Do you think I need extra income?
I mean, is it tough times at the MJ household?
No.
I mean,
what would you charge, MJ?
Seriously.
First of all,
what would you charge?
Are any radio personalities in the Tampa market doing this?
I think so.
Yeah, Calta's on there.
Is he?
Hold on.
Yeah. What the hell does Calta charge for this thing? Hold on. Oh, there he is. No, Fester just did a search. Mike Calt, he charges $40.
Okay.
So that's not bad. You gotta go above that, though.
So Calt, I'll charge $41. So Calt is charging $41.
40, yeah,
other than him, I can't name another morning guy.
It's he's $40 for personal use. He's $175 if he cuts a business cameo.
Yeah, that's what they're doing now. The business ones now are a lot more.
Yeah, so if you're going to endorse a product that it's $100, that's still pretty cheap.
Okay.
All right, Calta, I'm coming after you.
Well, all right.
The cameo challenge is on.
I think he's worth more than $40.
Yeah, Mike, I think he's selling himself a little cheap over there, Pally. Come on.
I actually thought quite the opposite. I thought it was like a $25 deal, but all right, good luck to you.
Roxanne, you want me to do cameos?
Yeah, sign up.
You're concerned about my financial well-being?
I just think you'd be good at them.
Do I look destitute? Do I need to supplement my income?
No, right. But I know that you would be. I think it's a good way for you to interact with people, and then maybe you'll do less Instagram videos.
All right, the only way this thing flies, MJ,
yeah,
is if you did it for charity.
Well, there you go.
If you want people to give you $30 to say, "Hey, Grandma, your two great grandkids, right, so Pete and Joe,"
nobody does it for charity.
Yeah, I think a lot of people do it for charity.
I don't. Well,
no, they don't.
Instead of like volunteering in a soup line, I'll film a couple of cameos every month and donate that to charity.
No, I think people do it for their own selves.
MJ, you should take calls and see if people do it. Feel out the audience. Nobody wants one.
I would much rather see Roxanne doing cameos.
All right, that's a good question. So you want me to take calls now and see if anyone would pay money for me to do a private match? You know, listen, I could do Milton Fudge Cow for people.
Yeah, you have to put some effort into it.
I could do, "Oh, thank God you've answered. Happy birthday to Jerry. Happy birthday to Diane. Oh, thank God you've answered. How old are you? Are you as fat as are you as fat as Chauncey?" You know. All right, so
you'd have to be creative about it.
Listen, I could do normal MJ or Schnitt, or I can do like Milton Fludge Cow. I mean, what? All right, that's a good question. Let's go to phones. Would anyone buy a cameo from me, or am I just a schlub that no one cares about? Let's go to phones. Roxanne wants me to start doing these cameos. Do you think anyone would be interested? What should I charge? If Calta's charging $40, do I undercut him? Do I go 39?
You got to splash the marketplace with a barn burner of a deal.
Yeah. Really 35,
like $19.99. Yeah. MJ,
let me give out the number here. All right, should I do cameos? Would anybody be interested in a cameo for me? 800-990-1047. 800-990-1047. Any interest at all? And then how much should I charge? What would you pay for a private, secret, personalized?
It's not secret.
Okay.
We're playing Linda Gray.
No.
Hello, I'm from Dallas.
All right, for a private message, I shoot a video, a private message. What am I worth? And do people even want me to shoot this stuff? All right.
MJ, you got to make it worth your while. I mean, make $100 or something.
All right. What? 800-990-1047. Let's go to phones on this. 800-990-1047. Would anybody be interested in a cameo? And then what price do you think is a good number that I should charge if I actually jump onto the Cameo platform. All right, let's go to phones. Where am I going here?
Let me pull the phone. I'm too busy on Cameo looking at all the people I'm never going to buy.
Bring up the phone screener, would you please? All right, let me grab, I don't even know who this is. Oh, Samantha. Hey, Samantha in Lakeland, you're on the MJ Morning Show. Hi, Samantha.
Hey, what's going on, MJ? So good to talk to you again. You should totally do it for $2.25 Milton Fudge Cow.
$2.25?
Whoa. $2.25 all the way. It's hilarious. I used to listen to that all the time when he would do it on 93.3.
Okay, all right, so wait a minute. Samantha, you would pay $225 for me to do a personal Milton Fudge Cow video for you?
Absolutely.
Oh my God, listen, man.
$75 for Chris Henson to do the Predator. Have a seat. For me, shoot. $225 for you, that would be wow.
You know, I'll tell you what, for $225, that would rack up fast, though. If I had a lot of people willing to pay $225,
I might do it for $200. Yeah,
that might cover my homeowner's insurance pretty quickly.
MJ.
Yeah.
Okay, hold on. Samantha, you would physically give MJ $225 for him to send you a 30-second video? How'd you answer?
Oh, no. It would at least have to be a minute or two.
I don't. I don't know how long these things go.
Yeah, well, listen, Linda Gray.
As long as you won.
Yeah, Linda Gray did like what 12 and a half hours for.
Linda Gray took a nap and kept the camera on.
Linda Gray said video for sleeping and drinking. I'm sure. Yeah. All right, Samantha. Thanks for calling in. All right, 800-990-1047. So Samantha says she'd pay $225 for me to do a Cameo.
She's a nut.
800-990-1047. What would you pay for me to do a Cameo personalized video? Let me grab Jen. Jen is next in Spring Hill. Jen, you're on the MJ Morning Show on Q105. Hi.
Hi, MJ. I'm so excited to speak with you. I've been listening to you for over 20 years. I would absolutely pay to listen to you.
Okay, so that's not the question. The question is, how much would you pay?
How much would you pay for me to shoot a personal Cameo video? What do you think my rate should be?
Well, I wouldn't know how to rate that. Okay. I'm definitely...
All right, so Samantha said $225. Is that too much?
No. I would do that.
What? My God.
People are crazy.
Hold on. Listen, I got 500 bucks.
What about Don Stanley?
I'm at 500 bucks almost. I'm at $450 already here.
You're worth it. You are worth it.
Oh my God. Roxanne.
Maybe we're missing out
I'm missing the freaking boat on this. Maybe Calta's making $1 million a year on this gig.
Okay. We all are, because the text line is blowing up. I can't even get back to everybody. But we have, you know, they're setting your price on the text line right now. So I'm going to narrow it down with you after the show.
All right.
But like $75 to you know, $225 right now. Also, they're making requests for Fester. And I've got a good idea of something you can do on Cameo Fester. And Froggy, they're making requests for you as well. Mumble Man specifically.
No, I did Mumble Man.
That's MJ.
Yeah, I did Mumble Man, and I did Milton Fudge Cow.
Well, they want Froggy to do Mumble Man.
Hey, Jen, thanks for the call. Look at the phones on this thing. Get a bunch of texts. I want to see what the texts are saying.
Froggy, they'll pay you to be a character you've never been before.
All right, Michael's in St. Pete. Michael, you're on the MJ Morning Show on Q105. Would you pay for an MJ Cameo?
Yes, sir. It'd have to be Milton, though.
Oh, thank God you've answered it.
How much?
What would you pay?
Me, I'd pay $75 easily.
$75?
Yeah. All the laughs that we used to have back with Milton crashing into the casino ship or the elevator.
Oh man, the jet ski! You know what? I just pulled out the CDs. Maybe I'll play a classic crotchety right here. Let me see if I can find. If you were to request a crotchety old man call, which one would you like to hear right now?
Crotchety old man. Well, the Milton wearing. Well, actually, the cruise ship was pretty funny.
That was the jet ski, right? Yeah, I've got it.
Yeah.
Unrelevant.
Yeah. Right.
The button won't work.
Yeah, I got. You know what? I've got it. Hold on. They put the CD in. I've got it.
All right.
It's on disc two. It's the last track. Hang on a minute,
Michael. Hold on.
Yeah,
you would legitimately separate your life a $50 bill, a $20 bill, and a $5 bill to have
absolutely.
MJ.
You go to dinner with your wife, and you spend that easily on nothing anymore.
Yeah, and you get a meal.
I'd have memories of Milton Fudge Cow saying something personal to somebody. Absolutely.
All right. Okay. I'll tell you what I'm going to do for you. I've got the crotchety old man, the jet ski smashing into the gambling ship. I'll play it for you right now. How about that?
Thank you, guys.
All right, buddy. Thanks.
Dude, so Michael's at 75. The other two people at 225. You're at five and a quarter.
I'm at 5.25 right now, and I'm just sitting here doing nothing.
Okay, but think about this. These cameos are so great for gifts for people. We're hearing about the people who want them for themselves, but you know, if you're trying to do something for creatives for someone and you know they love you, MJ, they're going to pay for you.
Hold on. What was your mother-in-law's reaction?
They love it.
A person who barely likes you in the first place. What does she say? Oh, you've gotten me.
I heard Doug's mother's just hoping that it falls apart.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, for who was the last call? Michael?
Michael, yes.
Michael, here's the, oh, thank God you've answered. Here's Milton Fludge Cow and the jet ski and the cruise ship.
Jet ski.
Oh, thank God you've answered. This is Milton Fludge Cow. I rented a jet ski from you over an hour ago. And I can't shut it off.
Where the hell are you? You're supposed to have been back a half an hour ago.
Listen here, Dillweed. If you'd let me get a word in edgewise and shut the hell up, you'll understand what I'm saying. I'm on your death trap jet ski. It's out of control. It will not shut off.
Press the red off switch.
I've hit the red off switch. Absolutely nothing is happening. Nothing, 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 nothing.
Just press the switch in with your thumb.
Hey, listen here, schmuck face. I've tried it. Does not work. Read my lips. Does not work.
Press the red off switch.
Hey, ass wipe. I've done it. Does not work. I'm pushing it right. I'm pushing it now. Nothing's happening.
All right. Pull the cord that's attached to your vest. The kill cord.
I disconnected that.
What do you mean you disconnected it?
It was very uncomfortable and restricted. Disconnected it.
Well, how could it not be working?
Listen here, bozo. What do I look like, a watercraft engineer? It is not working.
Hey, jump off the jet ski.
I can't jump off the jet ski. I have my 400-pound fat kid Chauncey on here, and he can't swim.
You have another person on there? You're only supposed to have one person on there.
I picked him up on the beach. I'm sorry.
Why would you bring someone who can't swim?
Oh, thank God I had my cell phone and my waterproof sports pack, or else I wouldn't have been able to call you.
Where are you?
I'm about 10 miles offshore now.
10 miles? Oh, sh**.
Yes, 10. Oh, my God. I got a small fishing boat straight ahead. 12 o'clock.
Turn the jet ski.
I can't. The handlebars snapped right off.
What do you mean they snapped off?
I hit a windsurfer about 20 minutes ago. Ripped the handlebars right off.
You gotta turn the jet ski.
I can't control it. Look out. Get out of the way. Get out of the way.
Oh, my God.
I just split him right in half. Call the Coast Guard. Two men overboard.
Is anyone hurt?
Oh, my God. I just had a fudge roll in my pants.
Sir. Is anybody hurt?
I don't know. I'm about a half mile away now. It will not stop. It's out of control.
Sir, you got to stop the jet ski.
How the hell am I going to stop the jet ski? Oh, my God. Things are getting worse as we speak.
Turn the gas switch to off.
I see a big ship up ahead.
Oh, sh**. Turn the gas switch off.
I can't. Gas switch is not working either.
What do you mean it's not working? Just turn the knob.
Nothing is working. It looks like one of those gambling casino ships.
Gambling ship?
A casino ship is straight ahead.
Holy sh**.
When I get through with you, I'm going to sue your butts off. It's going to be Fudge Cow Jet Ski Rental when I get through with you, morons.
You have to turn the jet ski.
Oh, my God. Gambling boat straight ahead.
Put your foot out to turn the jet ski.
On collision course.
Put your foot out.
I can't. Disaster is imminent.
Stick your foot in the water.
Everybody's going to die in a hellacious ball of fire.
Put your foot out.
Heading straight for ship.
Hello? Hello? Hello?
I'm inside the boat.
You're inside the boat?
Jet ski smashed right through side of boat. I just plowed through the casino, knocked over slot machines and craps table. I'm in the middle of the casino.
In the casino?
Yes, in the casino. Hey, wait a sec. Gotta go. Feeling lucky. Gotta play some blackjack.
What the
There it is. I haven't heard that one in a long time.
What cut are you going to give me for your cameo?
What am I? Oh, for what percentage are you going to get? I don't know.
Yeah, Roxanio over here.
Yeah, Roxanio.
He has to be our agent.
Hey, there is a pretty creepy story about women or people getting stalked. Now, I think we talked about a version of this before Christmas, but this gets even more personal. Actually, I've got two stories involving stalking, and I think that all of our female listeners definitely need to hear both of these. You got to hear this, and we'll get to it next on the MJ Morning Show here on Q105, so stand by.
This is the MJ Morning Show podcast. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone. Thanks for listening to the MJ Morning Show podcast.
MJ Morning Show, Q105. We are back. Spread the word. The MJ Morning Show is back. 104.7 FM, the legendary Q105. Man, it's a match made in heaven. The legendary MJ Morning Show and legendary Q105. It's a perfect match, right? So spread the word that we are back Monday through Friday, 6 to 10 a.m. Fester, Froggy's at home right now because little Luke has the Omicron deal.
So does little Luke get tested today?
What's the story? What's the latest, Froggy? Oh, geez, Froggy's gone again. Frog, come in, Froggy!
I mean, just because he's home doesn't mean he's not going to keep taking this movie.
Oh, that's a good point.
He'll blurt in like any second now. Froggy will blurt in.
So I think Luke is probably going to take a test today, but the problem now is
Kim.
Is Kim.
Yeah, so we heard last night, Kim texted, Froggy's wife texted Michelle last night that she was not feeling well, so I wonder if Kim's got the Omicron. We'll wait for Froggy to pop in here any second. All right, women, I've got two stories.
Pop. I popped back in.
When does Luke get tested?
Yeah, pop goes the world. Yeah. Pop. What are songs with pop in it?
Snap, crackle, pop.
Well, songs.
Pop goes the weasel.
Pop goes the weasel. Pop goes the world. Remember that song, Pop Goes the World?
All right, hold it. Pop.
Remember M? Remember pop? Pop music, music.
Roxanne has the best one.
What was that?
We can't pop that coochie.
Okay, that was the one Roxanne was saying. Yeah, you can't say. You can let it go.
Froggy, it's a song. I just dumped that.
I think Q105 played it back in the day.
Are you kidding me? It's a song. They play it on Saturday night.
I just dumped that. Pop
music. No, that's not the best pop.
Talk about pop music. Talk about pop music. Hey, cool. Right, before I get into the stalking story, bring up Men Without Hats. Bring up Pop Goes the World. That was a good song.
See,
do you guys remember Pop Goes the World by Men Without Hats?
When you say Pop Goes the Weasel, are you talking the nursery rhyme or the third base song?
Third base.
And then, ladies, hold on. I'm going to get to the stalking stories in just a second. You guys don't know Pop Goes the World?
That song's horrible.
It is not a horrible song. It's a great song. All right, Coop, do you have Pop Goes the World? Do you have it?
Right, one second. I'm waiting for an ad.
All right. Oh, we're waiting for an ad to go by.
Do you have the Two Live Crew clean version of Pop That?
You're telling me that we don't have Pop Goes the World as a Q105 library song?
No, we just have the safety dance in the system.
Oh, that's it for Men Without Hats. All right, is it ready to play? All right, go ahead.
Hit. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, Pop Goes the World
by Men Without Hats. You remember this?
This is awful.
No, this is a great song.
This is the worst of all the pop songs.
No, this is a great song.
Oh, my God. Hold on. Dretch.
This is a great song. This was like, I don't know, 1987? I think I played this on 97 Star in Norfolk, Virginia Beach. All right, here we go. You don't
remember
that?
What is happening?
All right.
You know what this sounds like?
What?
It sounds like the opening to a horrible British children's show.
Like, look.
Like Brum.
Brum. Listen, let's acknowledge.
Kids loved Brum when they were growing up.
Brum. Yeah, right. Brum.
Let's acknowledge, for all of the really, really awesome 80s music, there was also a lot of crap.
There was a lot of crap.
That was a turd of a song.
That was a great song. Men Without Hats, Pop Goes the World.
And the name of the band sucks, too. Men Without Hats?
Ugh. Hey, they're men, and they didn't have hats. Come on. All right, so...
We're a bunch of hatless men.
All right.
Oh, I have a hat.
All right, ladies.
You're not in the band. You have a hat.
For our female listeners, I got two stories here, and I think this will be very educational. First of all, we did sort of a version of the stalking deal before Christmas. I think it might have been a week or two before Christmas. Do you remember we talked about those Apple AirTags? And that carjackers or folks that were trying to steal specific high-end cars, that they were putting some of those AirTag tracking devices on cars.
Yes.
So if they saw like a Ferrari, a Lamborghini, a hard-to-get Mercedes-Benz, a G-Wagon, a
Buick LeSabre, a Santa Fe from Hyundai,
a Kia Optima, a
Toyota Corolla.
No, but we had a story last year before Christmas that thieves have been using these AirTags to track vehicles to where they can be stolen. The latest twist on this is a model. So, ladies, this is important for all of our female listeners. Listen carefully. A model in New York City was stalked by a stranger after an AirTag was slipped into her coat pocket. Oh,
scary.
Man. That is creepy.
So someone got close enough to her, slipped it into her pocket.
Yeah. A swimsuit model says she was stalked by a stranger who slipped an Apple AirTag tracker into her coat pocket and then followed her around for 5 hours. The model's name is Brooks Nader. I'm not familiar with the name. I'm looking at her picture right now, and she's a good-looking swimsuit model.
I'm looking at Uncle Ralph.
Ralph Nader? Hey, Fester,
get it?
Why did you bring up an image of her on your computer instead of standing there twiddling your thumbs?
Well, I wasn't twiddling my thumbs, but I was close. All right. I was twiddling.
All right, Brooks Nader is 26, and she claims that this happened last week. She was out in New York City, and she only realized it when her iPhone alerted her to the fact that an unknown accessory was moving with her.
Okay, and that's what I was looking up. That the iPhone lets you know if there's, even if it's not your skin tag.
A skin tag?
I'm sorry.
A skin tag?
That's what's on your neck.
What are they called again?
That's those chocolate chips all over Morgan Freeman's face.
What are they called again? Air tags? They're air
tags. That's true.
Air tags.
Andy Dufresne, here's my skin tag.
They're air tags, not skin tags.
Sorry. So if you have a skin tag, I'm sorry. If you have
an air tag! What are you having a stroke? No. It's an air tag.
Skin tag is a funny word, that's all. Just trying to make jokes. So if you have an air tag.
Dermatology endorsement.
If you have an air tag following you or in your car, they let you know that there's an unknown device but tracking your.
So she finally realized, though, after 5 hours. So she didn't realize right away that she was being alerted. And here's the issue. What if you don't have an iPhone? I'm not an iPhone user. I'm an Android user. Michelle and I, we've got Google Pixel 6 Pros. We've been Android users forever. Michelle and I have never had iPhones. We have always had Android devices in the smartphone world. Always. Either the Motorola Droids, and then I think we had Samsung, and then we've had the Pixels for a while. And now we have so if I have an Android phone, I'm not going to get alerted. You have to have an Apple phone.
For it to communicate to each other.
For it to let you know that you're being followed or stalked or that there's an unknown accessory.
All right. This Brooks Nader is pretty ridiculous.
Yeah, she is. She is very pretty. Look, even Roxanne.
She rates very high on Wiki Feet as well.
By the way, Roxanne's drooling over this.
I'm not drooling over her.
Oh,
I'm
yes, you are. What is that slobber coming off your mouth?
She just had a stroke.
She's just hungry.
So this woman, she noticed that she was getting tracked with this device. So the AirTag was first released by Apple last April, and it's about the size of a nickel. It's a tracking device, and it really is a key finder. It's, you know, for items that you might lose, like keys.
It's like competition to the Tile.
Yeah, exactly. So Julian used to lose his keys all the time. So Julian had Tiles for years. But you're right, it's similar to a Tile. It's the same concept. And there have been multiple reports with these gadgets. They retail, I guess, $30 or so, that they've been placed by stalkers and thieves inside people's handbags, cars, pockets, to track their whereabouts. And here's a smoking hot swimsuit model, Brooks Nader, who says that she was tracked and followed by some creepatola for 5 hours.
All right, Froggy, you're absolutely right. I'm on wikifeets.com.
Get off of Wikifeet.
And
she rates very high.
Yeah, her feet's incredible.
Hi, Frog, you're a sicko.
Look at these, MJ, look at her feet.
What?
Look at those feet.
They're perfect. Perfect.
Those are pretty incredible feet.
She's got good looking feet.
All right. Yeah,
this Brooks Nader swimsuit model is a very attractive woman. Very attractive woman. Wow. All right. So that's the warning. Heads up. That, you know, technology now with the Apple devices and this new Apple AirTag, not a skin tag, Fester. That's a whole different deal. Go to your dermatologist. They'll lop it right off.
Is it that simple?
Biopsy it if necessary.
My dad just gets a pair of nail clippers. Just pops them right off.
Geez. He's a real man, though.
Yeah. That's fair. And then the other story, again, for our female listeners, very important. Want to give you good information. A woman was being followed by a guy in a vehicle. So the woman was in her vehicle, and then a guy was following her, and she felt threatened, and she did the right thing. Again, public service. A woman drove right to a fire station, and this maniac guy following her ends up crashing his truck into the fire station. I mean, this is insane. This happened in Minneapolis. Firefighters helped protect a woman. Look at that. Firefighters going through the smoke and the fire and rescuing people, and they also rescued this woman from this stalker that was following her. Exactly. So she felt threatened, and she had the smarts to drive to a fire station after a man driving a truck refused to stop following her. And then this dude, he crashed through the fire station. According to the Minneapolis Police Department, it happened in Minneapolis. The woman arrived to the Whittier Neighborhood Fire Station last Thursday night, attempting to get away from the man who she knew, apparently, who wouldn't stop following her. So it wasn't a total stranger, knew the guy somehow. And the guy drove his truck up the driveway. Firefighters placed themselves between the truck and the woman, asked the man to leave. Police say the man continued to slowly drive closer to the woman, and that's when firefighters opened the bay doors to try to get the woman inside to safety. And they finally were able to get a hold of the guy. The guy crashed his car into the garage, his pickup truck, it looks like, and then the firefighters then jumped in and detained the guy until the cops could come and arrest this maniac.
That's an awesome story.
But listen, if you're ever threatened, again, you know, go find the police station if you can. Or certainly you go to a well-lit area. Go to a gas station with cars and other people and all the bright lights if it's at night. But certainly a fire station, a police station, if you feel threatened or followed, go there.
I mean, as a last resort, you can always go to a firehouse subs. I mean, they have delicious sandwiches.
What about Jimmy John's?
You go to Jimmy John's, too.
or Subway. Oh,
speaking
of Subway, do we really need to hear from Jared?
Yeah, about how great he's doing in jail.
Like, the guy's a freaking pedophile. You know, I feel dirty still. We had him. He came in. How many times over the years did Jared come in to the MJ Morning Show when we were over on Gandy when he was the big Subway spokesperson?
6-7 times.
You know, it was...
I feel awkward just how many times I've met that creep.
I know. We shook his hand.
Me too.
And me being the resident fat person, you're like, hey, Fester, you should hang out with Jared. You and Jared should go to lunch. And I'm like, nah, it's okay. I'm all right.
While we were on break, I think it was like maybe a couple of days before we came back from break, there was a big story that Jared, the Subway pedophile, that he's speaking from prison. Yeah, I'm sure that's Subway really wants Jared to pop. You know, Subway's trying to rebuild their business from multiple issues. You know, the Jared thing was terrible. The last thing Subway wants right now is people remembering Jared and Subway.
Shut up. As
he decides, they want to shove a foot long down his throat to shut this guy up.
The CEO of Subway is actually looking for somebody to shank him in the prison.
Exactly.
Did you see when he said that he misses the feel of carpet on his feet?
It's the sub.
So gross.
The sub shank redemption.
That's funny.
I guess there's no carpeting in jail.
Yeah.
At least there wasn't when I went. Wait,
did he say that?
He shouldn't be able to use the words "I miss the feel of."
Yeah, he was talking about things that he missed.
And he
in the article.
In the article, and he said, "I didn't read the whole." Listen, I think I just creeps me out. I mean, I still feel a little slimy that. We had him in the studio, and while we're having him in the studio and he was on the road, that's when he played his games. He was like traveling.
He had a scout or a buddy who was trying to recruit people.
He was hooking up with these underage girls, like 14-year-old girls, when he was on the road. So I don't know if he ever, when he came to Tampa and he was doing the promotional rounds for Subway in Tampa, and he popped into the studio. I don't know if he left us. And then, you know, next thing you know, he was the sicko was with a 12-year-old girl. It just creeped me the hell out. All right. So, Frog, you're telling me that you read the article and he said that he misses the feeling of carpet between his toes?
Yeah. I'm trying to look exactly what he said. He mentioned a bunch of things that he misses, and it was a bunch of weird stuff.
You know,
one of them was,
I miss walking down the sandwich assembly line and putting my feet inside the lettuce bin the tomato bin.
So he says he spends his weekends watching college football, and he really misses the small things like walking barefoot on carpet, sleeping on a nice comfy mattress, and eating with real silverware, and having access to a microwave.
Right. Well, Froggy, what were we going to say?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I just, all the things that he misses, like sleeping on a nice mattress with little kids. Yeah. Creepy.
You know, guess what? You can stay out of federal prison by not hooking up with 14-year-old girls and having all kinds of child pornography. Didn't he have a whole bunch of kiddie porn on his computer?
Listen, he was a creep in every sense of
it. Yeah, cool.
In the
the $5 footlong.
The recorded call of him with the woman he's trying to recruit. Little girls, and he's telling her what he likes. It's just
all right. I'm done with this guy.
Yeah. Well, I do have to say though, you look at that photo of him right now, the recent photo of him in jail, and then Fester, look, I pulled up a picture on my computer of him before he lost the weight,
right?
And it's unrecognizable.
Well, I did hear. I heard from the article. I read a little bit of the article, and I think he's lost like another 90 pounds or something in prison. The guy is so thin now because I see the picture. Right now, his whole body is the size of one of his thighs when he was fat.
That makes sense, about
real.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, seriously. Seriously.
He looks sickly.
Enough of this Jared guy. He got like 15 years in federal prison, so...
He's eligible for parole in 29.
In 2029?
Yes.
So he's got like 7 years left?
I mean...
He could be out.
Yeah.
Jeez. All right.
Great.
All right, moving along. Hey, once again, I thought it was such a cool thing that Tom Brady... Was he really arguing? When you looked at the sideline video, we mentioned this on yesterday's program on the Monday show, but was Brady really yelling at Bruce Arians? Because Arians was going to take him out of the game, and then Brady was yelling at Arians, "No, you're not taking me out." And it's because Brady wanted to help Gronk get the $1 million bonus, right?
I don't think he was yelling in a defiant "screw you, coach" manner, but he's like, no, I'm going back in because the game was won. They were already up by 14 points, and it's the last game of the year. There's no reason to risk your star quarterback going into the playoffs. Gronk had two bonuses he was in line for, and one of them he'd reached the yardage bonus, but he needed one more catch.
So he had $500,000, but can you imagine you go to work on top of getting paid $8 million over the season, if you hit a couple of benchmarks, you're going to make $1 million that day. That's amazing. How much was the bonus action?
$1 million.
And then what's the next level for him?
$100 billion.
And then what was the next bonus level?
$1 gajillion, fifillion, shabadoodle million, shabadoodle.
Yeah, that's the one that I really want to see him get.
Mm-hmm.
So going into the game...
these guys are used to getting million-dollar checks.
Yeah.
Going into the game on Sunday, Gronk needed 7 catches and 85 more yards. This is also the year, MJ, they extended the football season with another game.
17 games, regular season, yeah.
He had an extra game to do it. When the Bucs were up by 14, Brady kind of said, no, I'm going back in. He finished the game with 7 catches, got that bonus, and 137 yards and got that bonus.
I thought it was a cool thing.
And think about how good you have to be as a quarterback. Like, no, I'm going to hit him and I'm going to get him his bonus. I mean, it's not like the Panthers were going to come back and win, but they had to have known who he was going to throw to.
They couldn't stop him if they wanted to.
Speaking of football, a good buddy of mine is probably apoplectic this morning.
I don't know what that means.
Does that mean zombie apocalypse?
Yeah, apoplectic. You don't know what apoplectic means?
I know what plexiglass is. I don't know what apoplectic.
I know what Apopka, Florida is.
Yeah, what is it?
Are you even an apoplectic seizure right
now? So are you friends with a Georgia fan or an Alabama fan?
Alabama? Well, okay, hold on a minute. Why would, if I had a friend who was a Georgia fan, why would they be apoplectic?
Told you I don't know what apoplectic means. Is it a good thing or a bad thing?
Look it up. Go to the Merriam-Webster. You know what? You're only going to learn this. You're only going to expand your vocabulary if you do the research and you study yourself. Apoplectic. A-P-O-P-L-E-C-T-I-C. Apoplectic, probably?
Apoplectic.
T-I-C. All right, you got it? All right, right there. All right. Read the definition.
Relating to or causing apoplexy. That does nothing for me. Also, affected with or susceptible to showing symptoms of apoplexy or stroke.
Okay.
Apparently cause a stroke.
Also, extremely enraged. Apoplectic.
Okay. Definition 2B is extremely enraged. Yes. So, if your friend's apoplectic, that means he's pissed.
Right.
And he's an Alabama fan.
Exactly.
Oh, okay. I thought you said he was a Georgia fan.
I did not say that. I said my friend is apoplectic.
No, he says friend's a word that nobody knows and we can't figure out which way you're going on this.
All right. I would like to offer my condolences to Felix this morning. Felix, I know that you're a Roll Tide guy. Felix is a maniacal Alabama fan. And, of course, the Georgia Bulldogs in the national championship game beat Alabama 33-18.
I like to call that game the Battle of the Florida Border States.
Well, there you have it. Oh, did you see that the game was played in Indianapolis? Hey, Froggy, you've been to the famous St. Elmo Steakhouse in Indianapolis, right?
Yes, sir.
I've never been there, but that's one of the top steakhouses. Roxanne, have you been you've been to St. Elmo's?
Mm-hmm. You gotta have the shrimp cocktail.
That's what everybody tells you before you go there. It's a steak place, but you have to eat the shrimp cocktail.
The best shrimp cocktail in steakhouses is in the middle of Indianapolis.
Have you been there, Fester?
I've heard of St. Elmo's. I've never been there. Froggy's going to hire me this year as a stringer for his shelving show. So I'll go this year.
So this is a famous restaurant. It's St. Elmo Steakhouse. And it turns out that the steakhouse had to call the police because Georgia fans were barking. They wouldn't stop barking in the restaurant.
I mean, they are the Bulldogs.
So it's a nice restaurant. What are they doing?
So Georgia fans... in Indianapolis for the big game last night, they go to St. Elmo's Steakhouse and they're just barking incessantly as if they're, you know, Georgia Bulldogs.
It was like a...
the steakhouse had to call the cops because the customers would not stop barking in St. Elmo's Steakhouse.
Listen, these college teams are so... people are so serious about these teams. Like our factory is in Alabama, and they're probably going to shut down the factory today.
Oh my God.
It's a day of mourning.
Yeah, it's like
that's all they care about.
Are flags flying at half staff in Alabama right now?
I mean, seriously.
Yeah. All right, I think we might have video of the crazy Bulldogs fans barking inside the steakhouse. I'm going to try to see if we can play it next.
This is the MJ Morning Show podcast. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Thanks for listening to the MJ Morning Show podcast.
God, it's that's like the official song of movie trailers. It's like every summer movie is like, yeah, they run the Katrina and the Waves, you know, as the music underneath, you know.
Or it's the fun and games part of the script.
Exactly.
Play that.
Yep. You got the MJ Morning Show on Q105. It is 9:32. Hey, Froggy, can you get Kim? Can you see if Kim...
She's in a meeting right now.
What do you mean she's in a meeting right now?
Like AA?
Let me see if she can come.
I just want to see if Kim's... Oh, by the way, we found... while we're waiting, we found the audio of the Georgia Bulldog fans inside the legendary Landmark Steakhouse in Indianapolis. That's where the championship game was played last night. Roll Tide and Georgia. Of course, Georgia won. What was it, 33?
I had to shut it off in the fourth quarter. It was getting too late.
It was 33-18, and Georgia, the Bulldogs, beat Alabama. And Georgia fans were in the famous St. Elmo's Steakhouse. You know, in Indianapolis, St. Elmo's is like Burns.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a very, very fancy, schmancy steakhouse. And here's the audio. Listen carefully. This is the audio. Well, you don't have to listen carefully because it's pretty freaking loud. You got a whole bunch of Georgia fans inside St. Elmo's. And the steakhouse had to call the police because the Georgia fans, listen to this.
We must leave in red and white. Ain't nothing but a ring light. 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 Ain't nothing but a ring
This is going on and on and on for like an hour. The steakhouse had to call the Indianapolis Police Department.
Oh, man. That's hysterical. Here's pictures of the police officer walking table to table. Oh, my God. That's so funny. So,
there are literally pictures of the Indianapolis police inside the restaurant telling the Georgia Bulldog fan. And this is prior to the game.
Yeah, this is a couple days ago. I mean, the game was late last night.
Yeah, this is before the game, and the police had to come and tell the Georgia fans to shut up.
Oh, man, that's funny.
Unbelievable. All right, Froggy, were you able to get Kim?
Yes, right here.
Oh, stop it. Come on.
No, she's in a meeting. She's in a client meeting.
Is she okay?
She seems to feel better today.
Because the deal is that Froggy's not in studio. You can tell that Froggy sounds different because he's home. Because Froggy's youngest kid, Luke, who's 7, came down with the Omicron variant. He's got Omicron. His teacher's got Omicron. Like, I think half his first grade classroom has Omicron. So Luke's at home. And you know, what they're saying is that if you've got one family member in the house with Omicron, most everyone in the house is getting it. And Kim started feeling a little under the weather last night. So, you know, the assumption was maybe she was starting to get the Omicron. Of course, making Froggy's home Omicron rated number 1.
Didn't you have Omicron last week when your voice was scratchy, MJ? Didn't you have Omicron last week?
10:30.
Sorry.
What, can you?
I didn't hear you loud.
Didn't you have Omicron last week? I think you did.
I did not have Omicron.
Yes, you did.
No, I did not.
So,
You had a scratchy voice is what you call it.
Because when I told you, when I come back from 2 weeks vacation, I didn't have a scratchy voice. My vocal cords get hit because when I come back and I do two radio shows and I start talking a lot and I haven't used my voice in this capacity for 2+ weeks, happens to me a lot. My vocal cords get, I was tested 5 times and I had real tests because we had a test before we got on the plane to go to London. We had a test when we got off the plane in London. In order to take the train into Scotland, even the United Kingdom, we had to take another test. Then I had to take a test before I got on the plane to get back to Newark. couldn't get on our British Airways flight without a test. And then coming home, we tested twice when we came home. And then I've got home kits, and just because I'm working with you in the studio, I took I'm negative. Everything is negative.
Okay.
Yeah, no, it was just my just my vocal cords get strained when I don't speak for 2.5 weeks, and then I hit the ground running and, you know, do the morning show, the afternoon show. It strains my vocal cords. Happens all the time when I come back from vacation. You'll notice it.
Okay.
So what do you I didn't have what do you think? I didn't have Omicron.
We'll have to go on a few
checking.
More. Okay. About to go on a few more vacations.
Fessy, you know that. You've heard that happen to me.
He has to re-engage his muscle, Roxanne.
Exactly. So are you accusing me of...
I don't know. I mean, it just was kind of suspicious. You had the mask on. You had scratchy voice.
All right. I know she's accusing me of faking. She's accusing you of lying.
Very accusatory.
My God.
Roxanne's putting out so much stuff to deflect something that's going on with her. I just don't know what it is yet.
I think you're right.
But as soon as I do know,
I'm out. Putting the hot light on all of us.
Yeah, I'm out. Crazy.
Hey, speaking of the Omicron thing, some folks are ticked off that Home Shopping Network, HSN, they're doing segments selling Omicron testing kits.
Why is that a bad thing? They sell things. You buy things.
Coop, this is audio from HSN. Is this from HSN?
Yeah, with a host like Melissa Miner or something, and then this is the doctor that's trying to sell it.
So they have a doctor on the... All right, hold on. Let's listen. From HSN right here. Up the street. Let's listen.
Well, I want to tell you something. First of all, I want to thank you, Melissa. I want to thank ShopHQ because this is such a critical thing for every one of you to have home. Do you know what this is? This is a home antigen COVID test. Do you know what this is? This determines whether you are infected and equally and maybe more important, whether you're contagious. You've heard of the PCR test, the laboratory test where you take the swab, you set it off, it takes 1 to 3 days to get it back. That can be positive for as long as 30 days. The advantage for me, as far as my epidemiologic training is going, is that the following tells you if you're contagious. This is sold out everywhere. This is unavailable. And the FDA has a website now. They have a page their website.
Is this HSN?
I think they changed their name to...
It's ShopHQ is what he said. Yeah.
Is ShopHQ and HSN the same thing?
I'm trying to look at that up now, but all I see is ShopHQ might be independent.
I don't want to get it wrong because I thought I saw the story that they were pushing these things on Home Shopping.
Okay.
I thought that clip was HSN. Is it not? I'm sorry, folks. I'm not an expert on the Home Shopping channels. Right, I don't spend a lot of time watching them.
ShopHQ is out of Minnesota.
Okay, so that's
That's different.
Oh, so, okay, then, hey, my apologies. So it's not up the street here in Pine Nellis.
It's Home Shopping in the sense that you are in your home physically buying these kits, but it's not HSN Network.
Yeah, it says ShopHQ competes with HSN and QVC.
Okay. All right, my apologies. I stand corrected. I thought it was Home Shopping Network. See, listen, I can't keep QVC, HSN, Shop...
HQ.
DQ, I can't...
Oh, I'd love a Shop DQ.
Shop DQ.
Oh, that'd be great. Get a Blizzard or something?
Shop Dairy.
Would be delicious. Yeah. MJ, when do they go into the pitch like, and call now, but wait, there's more?
Yeah, so some folks have bent out of shape, you know, that they're bumming these things on TV right now. They're pushing these kits, you know.
They're helping people get them.
Yeah, but it's kind of a travesty that we don't have kits that are available in all of the drugstores. And, you know, we've just fallen down on so many things.
They have them at ShopHQ.
Oh, by the way, did you see what happened up in Quebec, up in Canada?
What, a big poutine factory exploded?
Well, you're close. Vaccine appointments for the vaccine have quadrupled in Quebec and Canada. Why? Because the government required that in order for people to go into liquor and cannabis stores, you have to be vaccinated.
That'll do it,
so,
man.
So people are getting vaccinated so they can go into a liquor store and a marijuana store in Quebec, up in Canada.
They know it pushes people's buttons.
I guess they do. And the other thing, quick, before I move on. In Florida, there's no limit on price gouging on COVID-19 tests. So we probably need to address that. Like, for instance, in a state of emergency, like a hurricane, they can't jack up hotel rates. They can't charge you ridiculous amounts of money for water and gasoline. you know, our attorney general prosecutes those cases, and I think each case could be a $25,000 fine, but there's nothing that precludes gougers from gouging people on these COVID-19 tests, and that probably needs to be...
Ashley Moody needs to look into that.
Needs to be addressed. So, Betty White. God, the beloved Betty White. Oh, Betty. Gonna miss you. You died so young.
Betty, yeah, for Yoda.
Yeah. Betty White, you know, dead at 99. I wanted her to make it to 100. I mean, she was so close, Betty. But what we found out, though, is that Betty White actually suffered a stroke 6 days before she died. So that just came out yesterday. That is brand new that she had a stroke at 99.999999 years of age. Yeah, this is according to the Los Angeles County Department of Public Health. TMZ got a hold of the document, and it listed the cause of her death as a cerebrovascular accident. So a cerebrovascular accident in medical terms is a stroke, which...
Froggy seems to be taking off early.
Froggy, what the hell are you doing at home?
Oh, crap. I thought I was on mute. Sorry. Hang on.
What are you doing?
I turned on my guitar and then I dropped it. I'm sorry. I thought I was on mute.
No, you weren't on mute. I thought you were going to crank up some kind of Betty White song or something.
I wish.
Yeah, that's what I thought you were going to do. Hey, speaking of medical conditions, Froggy, have you ever heard the name Jenna Jameson?
Let me think. Oh, yeah, that's the first porn I ever saw. Joey B. let me borrow it.
Roxanne, do you know Jenna Jameson?
Yeah, not for the same reason as Froggy.
How do you know Jenna?
Well, how else do you know her?
She knows Jenna through her philanthropic...
Oh, wait a second. Let me guess. You interviewed Jenna Jameson.
No, I interviewed her husband.
Well, I'm so far off.
Excuse me. Tito Ortiz.
Tito.
Yeah.
Now,
I interviewed him when they were married. They're done now.
The reason why I'm bringing up Jenna Jameson, this is kind of crazy and sad. Jenna Jameson, the former porn star, wasn't she like one of the biggest of all time?
Yeah, she was. Couple million dollars a year doing that.
Yeah, she was the A-list of the industry.
Well, apparently she can't walk.
Wow.
Jenna Jameson has been diagnosed with Guillain-Barré syndrome.
What is that?
Isn't that like a muscle disorder, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
From being on your knees too long?
All right, Froggy. Froggy, please. What?
I mean, on the surface, if you said Jenna Jameson can't walk, I'd be like, well, no wonder. I mean, you know.
Guys, come on.
But Guillain-Barré is a...
It's very rare.
Is it Guillain-Barré or Barr?
I think it's Barr.
I've heard it's Barré, but...
damaged nerve cells.
Yeah.
Yeah, so...
How does that happen?
It's an autoimmune disease. You know, like the myasthenia gravis that I was diagnosed with?
Yeah.
It's in the same family.
And your myasthenia gravis is in remission, right?
Dormant.
You're dormant. Well, I hope so. I hope it stays dormant. Yeah, but former porn star Jenna Jameson apparently is like, she can't walk.
She's got muscle weakening disease.
Well, she's in big trouble apparently. All right, folks, we're done. It's been a jammed up Tuesday. We had a lot of fun. Hopefully you enjoyed listening. Website, what do you mean?
I mean, I enjoyed listening, but you know, I enjoyed it, yeah.
MJMorningShow.com is loaded, folks. MJMorningShow.com, of course, MJTV. We do the show live. The whole show is video streamed live every day, and then video clips hit our website later on. MJMorningShow.com for MJTV. And, of course, the entire podcast of the show hits at 11. Folks, we'll see you back here tomorrow. Have a fantastic Tuesday. It's the MJ Morning Show on Q105, and let's be careful out there.
Thanks for listening to the MJ Morning Show podcast. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.